welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yeah, good times, and get it on. 866-901-ADAM. We will talk to you. Teresa Strasser, good morning.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Danny Bonaducci.
Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a good day. And I was just saying yesterday, this song, you can't be in a good mood. I ought to keep this on a cassette and pop it in every time I get pulled over. Cop leans in, you know what I mean?
It won't help, man.
Do you know how fast you were partying? Thank you, Paul Bryan. All right. Now, Danny, you're over in Las Vegas.
I am indeed, sir.
You are where?
Well, I'm specifically in, like, some kind of ballroom. I'm sure it has a name. Does anybody know what it is?
Studio B?
I'm in Studio B.
Uh-huh.
It's not quite as romantic as ballroom, but I'm in a place full of chandeliers, 100 empty chairs,
mm-hmm.
and Big Boy.
Uh-huh. And
who used to take up 100 chairs and now barely fills one.
Big Boy is on a radio station out here. Power 106?
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
One that plays 50 Cent.
Yes. Well, look, I don't... if you know what it is, you know what it is.
And yeah.
If you don't,
and
you
if
don't.
If we're going to share an audience, I'm afraid it's not with Big Boy.
Yes. He's out here in Los Angeles, and I'm just telling that to any of our syndicated audience out there in La La Land. Actually, we're out here in La La Land. So, Danny, you're out there now. The purpose of you being out there is the Mayweather-Hatton fight?
It is indeed.
Which I will be going to, by the way.
Going to the fight?
I will be going. Kimmel got some tickets. Also, Bill did. Brain's not working. Bill Simmons, ESPN sports guy, got some tickets, too. So we all decided to go to the fight. I think Jimmy's cousin is going as well, but that's about all I know.
Let me see what I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I flew out here, went to go get my comped dinner, and then they sent me a bill for $514 because Chuffy likes to eat a little bit more than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Hayden is white.
Who?
The other fighter.
Hatton.
Who knew he was white?
Tell you about Tom Hayden.
He's definitely
Ricky
white.
The Hitman Hatton. Sure. You didn't know Hatton was white?
Actually, I heard the British accent, and I said, here we go again, thinking, of course, of
Lennox Lewis.
Champion, yeah. And what he is he's a brawler, is what he is.
Yes.
So it should be an interesting fight. But what happened for me is, I'm out here in Vegas. I'm in a giant empty room. I was in bed by 8 o'clock because I've got this flu that will not shake.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to get on a plane home. And then you're flying here to go to the fight.
You will officially be the only one flying out of Vegas on Friday night.
Right. Which actually is kind of okay with me.
Yeah.
Because the flight out of Vegas just sucks.
Well, don't get me started. Wait a minute. Too late. Yeah. I flew out of Vegas, as Danny did a few weeks back. The line at McCarran is the Vegas airport, and there's, like, you go to gate C and D, and the C and D, I think it's C and D, line gets longer and longer. Now, that's Southwest, and I don't know what else, but when you get to the top of the escalator, you turn right, you drive by the NASCAR cafe appropriately, and you turn right again, and as you walk around the corner, you see a horde, a throng, a gaggle of humanity. I mean, it's one of those security lines where you go, oh, Jesus Christ, what time's our flight? Noon? It's
and
9.
And then you realize you're not actually in line yet.
Oh, you're not in it. It's just a huge mass of people walking toward the line. But it's 9:45 in the morning, and I don't think we're going to make our noon flight. That's
right.
The feeling you get when you turn the corner. And my question is didn't they see this coming? Isn't this getting 10% worse every year for the last 10 years in Vegas? I mean, if you saw that line, and I have seen that line in 1997, it didn't look anything like that. I have seen it grow by 75 people or 100 people a year for the last 10 years. Is there any point where somebody intervenes and goes, hey, perhaps we need to expand, or we need another, or we need to add more people, or we need another system? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do, but I have now been to so many airports lately that it seems like intervening in any way to make anything more expedient is not anyone's job.
Yes, that is correct. And again, places like the airport and folks like airport security are our own little slice of communism slash socialism. That's how that works. That's not UPS trying to go up against the Federal Express. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's not everyone competing against everybody. If there were 10 security lines and you had your choice, believe me, if there were three companies that did security, you'd have some sort of quick pass thing. You'd be jogging. You'd be sprinting like OJ past it and right onto your airplane. Or somebody would pick you up in a golf cart at the curb and whisk you right through it. But when there's one, people get lazy. They don't even know how lazy they are. You know what would be awesome? Imagine if this was the only morning show. Do you know what time I would show up? I would show up right in the middle of Frosty, Heidi, and Frank. I would take a dump in the studio, and I would go home.
Adam, this is radio.
That's what I would do. Like, could you just imagine if there was no other morning radio? Could you?
I imagine it almost daily.
Danny'd take a pop off the cough syrup bottle, stagger in here, drop a couple N-bombs, and leave.
That's pretty much it. That's my act.
T'd show up, and Jack Silver'd be like, Teresa, what the hell? I haven't seen you in 2 weeks. What are you doing here? This is a pleasant surprise. And you're like, I just want my paycheck, bitch. Daddy needs some more Cutty Sark.
What I think,
they obviously can't build more airports fast enough, but what they could do, I think, is let you have three different security checks. They could have one called super security for those who are afraid and in fear of their lives constantly of terrorist attack, and one that said something like safer than the other.
Right.
And one that said, take your friggin' chances.
Yeah, right.
I would go on the take your friggin' chance line every time.
The whole flight would have to be that.
Ass kicker.
But the whole, that'd have to be the whole flight, right?
Yeah, there'd be no security, nobody'd ask you any questions, you'd just show them your ticket and you'd get on the plane.
I would take my chances.
Yeah.
Every time.
The median income would go up a little higher than Southwest on that flight. I mean, the chances are the guy you sat next to wouldn't be wearing a bad to the bone t-shirt with a pit bull on it and the sleeves cut off, but there'd be a higher likelihood the plane would blow up.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever it is. Here's all I'm saying. If you spoke to the people who work for security at the airport and who work over at McCarran Airport in Vegas, they would tell you they're doing everything they can do, and they would tell you they've been aware of this problem, and they could tell you, here's all the things we've done to alleviate the problem, but you would still turn the corner at the NASCAR cafe, and there would be 700,000 people standing there holding Samsonite in backpacks. I know they think they're doing what they can do. I also know they're not doing what they can do because there's no competition. You're not even aware that you're being lazy without competition. And overall, doesn't this, I mean, let's all just look at it this way, everybody. People are going to fly in this country. I don't know what percentage of people flew 25 years ago, but I imagine it's 10 times as much now.
Yeah, absolutely.
25, like when I was in high school, I didn't even know anyone who got on a plane to go anywhere. If somebody had to go somewhere, they would drive. And I mean, people would drive across country and stuff. Now, I hung out with poor white trash in the valley, but no one in my family, there was no hopping a Southwest flight, going to San Francisco for the weekend and hopping back. I didn't know anybody who did that. It didn't happen that often. I'm not saying people didn't fly, but now everyone flies. Everyone flies now.
It's mass transportation.
Right, and I imagine that's just going to keep growing. And at a certain point, when everyone is flying and we have these huge security lines, shouldn't there be some legislation enacted? Shouldn't there be some registration thing? Shouldn't you be able to get some license or permit or background check or whatever it is? We can't figure that one out. You know what I mean? It's like, you want to be a long-haul trucker and drive an 18-wheeler. All right, you get a class whatever license. You get registered. They get your fingerprint, your ID, and now you get your license. Shouldn't there be some sort of equivalent, some sort of something that you get so that you can fly without, with waiting in some line, but not, I mean, think about this. Danny, you've been on a plane every weekend for the last 6 months.
Easily.
You're Danny effing Partridge from the effing Partridge effing family.
Right.
Everyone knows who you are. Plus, you're white as a ghost and your head is redder than Carrot Top's pubes. You pose zero threat. Zero.
Well, hang on. No, you're wrong about the
Carrot Top. Oh, no. God, what did you do to Carrot Top?
I don't want to discuss it.
Well, again, better than being a carrot bottom. The point is this. Everyone knows who you are. Teresa poses zero threat. Bald Brian, zero threat. Me, zero threat. Everyone, some know who we are. We travel all the time. Should we really go through the charade every single weekend when we travel, take the shoes off, empty the bag, times a billion people? We can't work this one out.
Plus, they change me. I look like I'm doing something wrong because, first of all, once they say take your shoes off to me, I am now a foot shorter.
Yeah, they're like, where'd he go? He
tried okay, to what happened to him?
People, that's not the we same got guy. A code 9 here. Bonaducci. Oh, wait a minute. I just looked down to tie my shoe. There he is.
Sorry, man.
Then I take off the pirate jewelry and the ridiculous belt buckles.
Right.
And they go, well, we got to research this guy. Can't possibly be the same guy that was just in line 6 inches taller wearing all sorts of pirate jewelry. This is a different human being.
I can't imagine
that's
you
cavity searching.
Without your boots and your pirate. You must look just like a newborn baby.
Do you know what I do? You know the worst thing about the boots thing is this is totally off the subject, but when I'm semi-single again, if I go out and I meet a girl, I have to get dressed in the morning immediately. Because if a girl, I meet a girl at a bar and she's 5'7", and we go to her house and we become naked, and she wakes up in the morning and looks down at me.
Mm. Yeah,
they're
you
usually
don't want that.
Upset. Like they think to wake up to a guy as much shorter as the guy they went to bed with is to almost wake up and find out that I'm married.
Never
it's like that big of a
that.
Lie.
You know, chicks worry about putting the makeup on or getting uglier in the morning, but I never thought about getting shorter.
Yeah.
In the morning.
I wake up 3 inches shorter than I go to bed.
I always worry about blasting gas in the middle of the night because if you ever get that thing where you're used to sleeping alone, you get used to sleeping alone. And if you go through a stretch of a year or two where you're just living alone, and I've gone through long stretches where I just live alone, well, you get used to certain rituals and certain habits, and it's hard to break it on any given Saturday night if somebody's flopping on your bed next to you. And somewhere around 3:45 to 4:30 in the morning when you're in some deep REM and your ass, your literal ass, is used to being alone for 6 years, you will let stuff fly because you will not be prepared. You know, it's that certain thing. It's like when we childproofed my house.
Right.
I pulled every effing kitchen drawer open and caught the plastic safety strap 2,200 times before my brain was able to adjust, you know, because my hand opened the drawer unabated for 3 years, and now it's going to take me 1,300 attempts for my brain to catch on that I have to depress the little plastic thing. That's what happened to my ass back in the day when I would meet someone and they were the first, whether it was, you know, one night, whatever, or this was a new girlfriend, whatever it was, when somebody slept over that first night, there was some big time gas flying somewhere in the middle of the night, usually the wee hours, and then never sure. Should you sound off? Because it'll wake your ass up and you'll think, oh no, now I know where I am. I'm feeling those press-on nails in my back. And then you think, did she hear it? And then you think, should I say something?
Do you?
I would always do the passing, like kind of a nice one, Ace Man, or something, just in case she heard it, I would know, let her know that I heard it or knew what I was doing. That's a gamble because that could wake her up.
Yeah. You're calling attention to something that may have gone unnoticed.
See, what I do is I go the opposite way. I just whisper in case they're still asleep that I didn't say anything. But if they're awake, I just go, Jesus Christ, lady, what did you eat? And I blame them.
Yeah, but
she won't know. She's asleep.
Yeah, for me, it's an audible issue.
Yeah,
I don't have much punch in the sound department, but I got a serious foghorn. in under that comforter. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. What day is it? Friday?
Yep.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Corona cut one.
Hey, it's Friday. That means it's Forgiveness Friday. I enjoy this. 866-901 Adam. Danny's in Vegas.
I wish I had more to be forgiven for, but I've got this cold. I was in bed by 8. I should have a story about Siamese twins. I'm in Vegas with a bankroll, and I got nothing.
Well, work one up. We'll take a break. 866-901 Adam, or see what you can do with Big Boy in the next 6 minutes. 866-901 Adam. We're in L.A. Danny's in Vegas. Forgiveness Friday. Give a call. We'll forgive your sins next.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very happy and a Merry Christmas to you. To make it really happy and merry, make sure you drive safely and carefully. There's nothing merry about a crash.
Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show. Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Here's your Christmas bonus. Program Director Jack Silver.
Crank it up, beeps! Today, from The Matrix and The Sopranos, Joe Pantoliano! Hey, what a coincidence! His nickname is Joey Pants, mine is Jackie No Pants! Late night host Carson Daly! A fresh batch of TV clips with Joel McHale! And an interview with a Pearl Harbor survivor! Hey, Pearl Harbor, good name for TSV! Because it's a cooch that'll live in infamy.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. Good name for TSV. We just had one off the air.
Really? I missed that.
We're talking about how it's a good time for people to be poor.
Well, Bald Brian's poor. And Bald Brian, I said, what are you doing this weekend? And every day he's cycling through wine country in France, or he's going out on a houseboat in Lake Mead. And I always say to him, you make no money. How is it that you're living such a better life than I am? So I said, what are you doing this weekend, Brian? Flying out for a Cal game? What are you doing? Hot air ballooning? What are you doing, Brian?
Buddy's renting a cabin up in Big Bear. We're driving up there to the lake.
This. He's going to a better place.
30th birthday party.
Right.
We decided that it was a good time to be poor, and I said, yeah, one example is Happy Hour Sushi.
Ah, that's the name.
That's the name.
Very fresh and very affordable.
That's right.
I thought you were going with Big Bear.
I did too. I didn't care for that.
Danny's in Vegas. He's there, well, ironically, he's not there. Well, he is there for the Floyd Mayweather fight, except for he's coming back before the Floyd Mayweather fight. I'm not there for that fight, but I will be there for that fight tomorrow.
You know where I'll be tomorrow?
Hmm.
At the Hustle Casino in Gardena.
Oh.
Giving away a Harley Davidson.
Good times. 866-901-ADAM. We're doing some Forgiveness Friday. Look, we want to enjoy the weekend. Maybe we'll you purge your sins on the air, and we'll take care of you, make you feel better. It's Forgiveness Friday. Hey, Brandon?
Yeah, Adam?
What did you do that you need forgiveness for?
Oh, man. It's a bad story. I was in bed with my girlfriend at the time, and, you know, we kind of woke up together, and we did the nasty pretty seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was she got called into work a little earlier, and her friend came by, you know, to hang out with her. And what ended up happening with her friend was about the same thing that happened with her. But thing is, I didn't take a shower in the middle, guys.
That is disgusting. But let me ask this. Do you guys think there's some sort of pheromone a guy gives off within, you know, an hour after he's been laid that says to the opposite sex, still open for business?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
And I think it's something like that because she was definitely down for it, you know?
She came over to visit your girlfriend. Your girlfriend had to split and she just hung out and had sex with you?
Yeah, my girlfriend had to go to work. She got called in like a half hour early. She works at the malls out here in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And her friend came over to hang out with her in the morning, you know, and do their shit, whatever they do. I'm a construction superintendent.
Uh-huh.
And, I just got lucky, man. Right place, right time.
Mm-hmm.
I was still in my boxers, you know, all torn up from my woman, and I wasn't looking really good.
Now, you didn't take a shower, but did you at least do that thing that I do in the sink and Danny can't do because you're not tall enough, but
no,
the little dingling drain in the sink?
No, I didn't cleanse the dingling at all.
Man. Couldn't a woman Could a woman figure that you... Teed, I feel like you could suss that out.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I mean, if you just go for your basic intercourse, you might not notice.
Oh, no. Myself and my actual girlfriend at the time were like, all inputs, and then...
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. This crosses some sort of line. T.
Yeah.
Take this in spirit, which is intended, but you have a super nose. I don't mean a big nose. I just mean a nose that could sniff out this sort of insincerity.
Like Dick
and
Tracy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
if I was away from it.
I don't know what we can say and what we can't
I'm
say
so
anymore.
I'm confused about the D word.
By the way, I was not confused about that one. You could tell you couldn't say that, Corolla.
Well, you can call somebody a dick.
Right.
Yeah, but you can't,
refer to his member as a...
You can't say, hey, could you smell the other woman on his... You just can't say that, dude.
All right, well, look...
You're a genius, for Christ's sake. You can't figure out, hey, T, can you smell another woman on this guy's... No, you can't, Corolla.
Well, okay.
It was
a turnabout. Clark. It was a little turn of phrase where we said... Dick Tracy, and then I said Traces on the...
Yes.
You can do... Yeah,
how could
put
you
it this
not?
Way.
I didn't
when
say
Dick,
it wasn't brilliant.
When Dick Tracy was in the eighth grade,
yeah.
And his gym coach would call roll, that's what it sounded like.
Tracy.
Dick Tracy! Dick Tracy! Dick! Anybody? That must have been funny when Dick Tracy was in gym class. All right, so here's...
Perhaps they used a condom.
Perhaps. Now, look, he's not expecting us to believe that he had all input sex with his one girlfriend.
Was that what he was suggesting?
He was suggesting
all entrances.
Oh.
That's what he was suggesting. And then he was also suggesting that the other girl...
Didn't notice
and didn't just do
Impossible.
The straight intercourse.
Check it out. It gets better, guys.
Or worse, depending on if you're eating. Go ahead.
My woman's friend was a dancer at Olympic Gardens. It's the strip club.
You mean OG? I mean, huh? I hadn't heard of that one.
She could have been coming off of one, you know what I mean? So she might not have detected the, shall we say.
Yeah. By the way, if I will be at... I'm trying to do some kind of countdown. I think in about 29 hours, I'll be at the Olympic Garden sitting in between Bill Simmons and Jimmy Kimmel. All right, Brandon. Well, I would consider that a small to medium-sized conquest, but you want forgiveness.
You can't forgive me for it, huh?
Hold on a second. I'd like to forgive Brandon for this, but I feel like he's just bragging.
Yeah, me too. I don't think he's embarrassed or ashamed or feels... guilty for what he's done. He just wants to brag.
Plus, who would go on in Vegas? And if we're not number one in Vegas, we're near number one in Vegas.
Yeah, we're number one or two.
Who
sure.
would go on the number one or two radio morning show in Vegas, talk about Olympic Gardens, talk about working as a construction supervisor, talking about the girlfriend that had to leave early? Surely the girlfriend, if she has a radio or have friends who listen to this show, could connect the dots on this one.
Brandon.
A couple of years ago. I'm not trying to totally step on my own. You know what?
Are you not with her anymore?
No, sir.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, in that case,
if she could not suss out what had just happened. What makes you think she can connect the dots on this?
That's right.
I could get my tires slashed tonight, though, guys. You know.
Well, in that case, for having the the cojones to not only do that but call us, I will forgive you, and if you promise never to do it again. Or maybe just a baker's dozen times. I'll let you go into the weekend, absolved of all sin. Nah, I couldn't quite figure out if he was lying or not.
You know what? Well, it's weird because something happens there. I used to, I have always cheated, and I made that very, very, this is the first time I've been pretty straight up with a girl, is when I started seeing Amy, I told her, I cheat. If you don't want to get involved with a cheater, just don't get involved.
So normally you lie and cheat with a girl, and this time you just cheat.
Right. I cheat and try not to get caught, and when I get caught, I usually get two passes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not that big of a deal, but I'd rather not hassle it because I don't cheat like with a plan. I don't go out with a condom in my back pocket because I'm going to cheat. What happens is some girl comes up and goes, oh, I'm a big fan of the show. And the next thing you know, we're in a closet somewhere.
Right.
Nobody knows anybody's name. And I go home to my girlfriend and I don't even, I barely consider it cheating.
Right. It's not cheating.
But when I was in a steady relationship, I had a semi-affair where I saw the same girl regularly. And what I would do is I would call this girl I was with. I don't want to say her name. But I would call the girl that I was with and living with at the time, but mostly to make sure she was home. That I wasn't being fired, you know, because people are suspicious of me.
Yeah, so when you're cheating on somebody, you would call the somebody to make sure that she wasn't out and about and couldn't bust you.
And that I'm at least 15 minutes away. There's no way I'm not going to get away with this. I'm going to be gone, even if she catches on.
15
I'll
minutes,
be gone.
That's three times, Bonaducci.
Well, you know, there's getting up, getting dressed, and getting the hell out.
All
I'm
right.
not that good of a parallel parker.
Right.
So that turned in calling to make sure they were supposed to be where they were so I could get away with having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Turned into calling my girlfriend while I was having sex just to be, I think just to be cruel or just to be, I don't know what made me do it, but I would call the woman I loved while in the act with the other woman and have a conversation with her and tell her, I love you. I'll see you at home in a little while.
Hold on. I used to say this on Loveline all the time. I think I'm going to dust it off. Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Sure.
See nothing wrong with having intercourse with one woman and talking to the woman you love
woman
on the phone.
With whom you're having intercourse, perfectly normal.
Sure.
Healthy girl.
Sure.
Who wouldn't love that?
Yeah. We all know people multitask these days, T.
Of course.
I gotta blow a call into the old lady while I'm on top of you. You understand?
Fine. Yeah.
Look, you talk on your cell phone and drive.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, I do.
Yes.
Well, you gotta remember the girl in this particular case. I mean, I'm talking about a particular case. The girl in this particular case wanted to steal me away. This was not a casual thing.
She wanted you.
So she was my partner in crime, and thought the more I could distance myself emotionally from the other woman, and the more, I guess, I got to admit it, cruel I could be by doing such a thing, the more I was her partner than I was the girl I was living with at the time.
Right.
I mean, the girl I was living with at the time was a perfectly nice woman. Turns out the girl that was my partner in crime was a nasty whore. Is one thing, but the nasty whore seems really fun for like 6 months.
Yeah, it's a good time.
The nasty whore is really appealing, and then eventually you go, wait a minute, you're a nasty whore.
I used to have my ladies call their grandparents while I was doing it.
Okay, you're just weird.
Nana? Nana? Have Pappy pick up the other line. Okay. No, just calling. Well, I don't know what that sound is, but it's definitely not my head against the headboard of the bed that Nana from Philadelphia gave me after she passed. So that's for sure.
I have a G-rated forgiveness.
Of course I'm coming for Thanksgiving.
Danny.
Hmm.
Adam.
Yes.
I have a brief but G-rated forgiveness that I've needed a long time. A long time.
All right.
The statute may have run out.
Let's hear.
And it's no joke. I couldn't feel more guilty about anything. It basically, everything else bad I've apologized for except for this.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 19, I was working as a reporter. I was probably too young to have that job. I wasn't really ready. And I was assigned to review this guy's book. And it was probably the only review that he was going to get. He lived in Berkeley. This newspaper was in San Francisco. He came into the city. We sat down and did an interview. He was the nicest man. He seemed to know what he was talking about. But the title, I wish I could remember it exactly, but it was something like Ending the War Against Yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He was a psychologist, some kind of therapist. And so instead of writing a fair review of the book, I just made fun of it because it was easier and it was funny. And I just made a lot of jokes about the war against yourself. And I didn't even really realize, I was 19, I didn't realize that I was probably shattering this guy's hopes to sell his book.
You thought it was like a creative writing assignment.
Yeah.
And you're funny. And when you're funny, when you're a funny person, if you sit down to write a eulogy, three letters in, jokes will start coming out. It's almost hard to write a hate letter, like, dear Southwest Airline, my service was subpar. And speaking of subpar, you should see my golf game.
That's what happened!
Like,
It was so right. I mean, ending the war against yourself.
Going to Vegas with H-Man and K-Man. Yeah, no, it's hard.
Like,
so you were.
I've started the shame offensive. You know, I couldn't stop.
Right.
And I made fun of him, and I've tried to find him for 10 years because I feel terrible. He didn't deserve that, I could never apologize to him because I can't remember his name. And
give
by the time
up the search. He killed himself.
Yeah.
That man's dead.
He ended the war against himself. He surrendered to himself.
Oh.
Well, if he's in the listening audience and he vaguely remembers, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
It's a very sweet story, but you're apologizing about giving a bad review to a book nobody was going to read by a 19-year-old.
Yeah, but that was his dream. He probably spent a couple years writing it.
That was almost 10 years ago, T. Sure, he's long since claimed by Ace. If it makes you feel any better.
Thank you.
I just did the San Francisco psychologist self-help math on that one.
Turtleneck.
Oh, boy. Hey, Will.
He's gay.
Yeah.
You got hickeys from a girl?
What happened was I went out to a party, got a little hammered, and I hooked up with some chick.
Mm-hmm.
And she started sucking on my neck, and I was a little hammered, so I wasn't really quite conscious of what I was doing. So I'm driving home, I look at my neck, and I was like, oh, God, I cannot believe I got some hater marks on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I get home, and the lights are turned off, my wife's already in bed, and I'm like, oh, God, how am I going to pull this one off? I'm like, I really don't know what I'm going to do. And then I lay down, and I just, I roll over, and I kiss her, and I tell her, hey, baby, give me a hickey on my neck. And she goes, why? I go, I just feel like having you suck on my neck.
Uh-huh.
So she does it, and the next morning we wake up, and I wake up before her, and I look at my neck, and I'm like, oh, God, she did a number
Smart.
On my neck. The girl did a number on my neck, and I tell my wife, look what you did on my neck. How am I going to go to work? How am I going to be presentable?
Interesting.
And I pretty much got away with it.
All right.
Dude, smart.
I've done that before, except for what I realized after the chick I was making out with left a hickey, is I'm going to get busted unless you do it all over my body consistently, and I can just convince the old lady I've changed colors. Others said I took too much niacin this morning or something like that. See, the
hives,
one
because they put pepper spray in your dress.
Yeah, the one red and blue spot on your neck, that's going to stand out. But if your whole body consistently was just a couple shades of purple,
right.
I feel like you could pass that off as a disease.
Well, I wonder if Will did. I mean, I wonder if any of the other professors in the teacher's lounge noticed the hickeys.
That's pretty smart.
It's in a street smart kind of way. Will?
I thought it was a great moment in hookup history, but then again, I feel bad about it because, I kind of didn't mean for that to happen. So
did any of the other faculty members at Brown, let's say, catch on?
Well, actually, no, nobody actually knew about it.
What do you do for a living, Will?
I actually work in a warehouse.
Filled with books?
Filled with power tools.
Yeah!
There you go,
brother. Now we're hitting our demo.
I'd like to forgive Will because he just got a hickey.
He got a hickey. Yeah.
He did not just get a hickey. Who just gets a hickey? Who just says, suck my neck?
Will, what else did you get?
That was it.
That's it. You weren't making out with
her. I'll tell you this, Will. I will give you forgiveness, but I will get down on my knees and forgive you if you take one of those lithium-powered 18-volt Makita cordless setups from that warehouse
DeWalt,
and drop it off at the station. I will thank you. I will forgive you in person. Steve, quickly.
Yes, I used to drive a delivery truck, and we could make it backfire. Where you turn off the ignition, and you wait like a few seconds, turn it back on, and then it sounds like an explosion.
Listen, you kids are growing up in a world where there's no more backfiring. There used to be backfiring all the time. I had a buddy who drove a VW van. The greatest thing in the world was when we would be driving through a tunnel under a freeway overpass, and kids would be leaving school, and they'd all be walking down the sidewalk, and they'd all be in the little tunnel area with us. We'd come flying up, shut the key, pump the gas pedal twice, turn it in, pow, and it would kill everybody inside the tunnel. It was awesome. Yeah. Sorry, Steve. Go ahead.
So anyways, I was in a residential area. We were delivering furniture, and there's this old guy out on his front yard watering his lawn.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it'd be, cool to, scare them and stuff. And so I let one go. The thing backfired. And when I looked back in my rearview mirror, the guy was grabbing his heart.
So you're saying your little backfire stunt backfired?
Yeah, we got out of there real quick because I didn't know if the guy was going to die or anything. We didn't want him to get our license plate or anything like that.
Like he's out in front of, like, I picture like Fred Sanford.
That's
out
what
there
I got.
Watering
his, clutching his chest.
Watering his junk. Well, Steve, that's a harmless prank. I will forgive you. And again, if you try to... Look, if you're going to do a shaving cream pie in the face and it kills somebody, I don't think you're guilty. That's them.
Agree. But once he saw that the guy was having some sort of heart incident, he should have turned back and helped him.
True. He panicked and drove on, but Steve is a long time ago, and we'll forgive you for that. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Danny's in Vegas. He's there for the Hatton-Mayweather fight.
At the MGM Grand.
I'll be there in about 24 hours
or
so.
Which is, by the way, really grand. I'm not plugging this place because, I don't even know why they sent me here. But the fact of the matter is, it's been a long time since I've been to one of the giant casinos because my friend owns one up the street and it's one of the smaller ones.
Mm-hmm.
This place is amazing. I mean, there's got to be 40 restaurants in this place. You could get lost forever, and everything is shiny and chandeliers.
This is amazing.
Really kind of cool stepping back into another realm, a realm of like real super class. It's neat here.
Super class. Be a good name for my joint. You know what I'm saying?
Super
class. Yeah.
I call mine Shorty. I'm thrilled about it.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, it's Pearl Harbor Day. It's December 7th, the day that'll live in infamy. We have a survivor from Pearl Harbor. He's 31 years old.
Yeah.
Wait. No, he's 88 years old. He lives in Plainview, Texas, and he was there. We'll talk to him next.
Rolls before home.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Next Thursday night, it's a Christmas Corolla.
Hey, that's Christmas.
The Adam Carolla Show live at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana.
How about presents nobody wants?
The Deaf Frat Guy will break out some Nog Bongs.
Silent night, holy night.
Comedian Dana Gould will be joining us.
We're going to screw the tree together.
Dr. Gadget will be there to give away some cool new crap.
Things are all f***ed up at the North Pole. See, Mrs. Santa caught me f***ing her sister.
And since it's Christmas, we'll be giving away a really awesome prize to the best Jesus lookalike.
Screw the listener.
A Christmas Corolla, Thursday night at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana with the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, good times. It is the 66th anniversary of the day that'll live in infamy. Pearl Harbor, everybody. Japanese bombed us on this day 66 years ago. Lee Susie. I hope I'm saying it right. Lee?
Yes.
Am I pronouncing your name correctly?
Pronouncing it perfectly. As good as my father ever did.
Lee, you were 22 years of age when we were bombed. You're now 88 years of age. Tell us the story and how the morning unfolded for you as you remember it.
I happened to, if we start at the beginning... I happened to be looking out of a porthole. I had just finished breakfast, and I happened to be looking out of a porthole when this large armada or flight of airplanes. And as I focused on the lead group, I saw, I think it was five planes diving towards the hangars on the end of Fort Island.
So you were on a vessel in Pearl Harbor?
Yes.
And you're waking up. Now, this took place about 7-something in the morning?
7:55, yes, or 56, whatever.
You mind if I ask what the name of the ship you were on?
Oh, the USS Utah.
Mm-hmm.
The Utah was an old battleship that had been decommissioned, disarmed, and then recommissioned as a bombing target for submarines and airplanes.
Uh-huh. So you're on that, by the way,
so
that's
you're,
a rough...
You're on a boat that's going to get bombed anyway, even if the Japanese don't show up.
Thank you. So you're there, now you're waking up, you see this armada of planes coming in.
Yeah.
And your first impulse is what?
Well, wondering who's out maneuvering on a Sunday morning, and somebody said... it must be those crazy Marines, the gung-ho Marines. They'd be the only ones out on a Sunday morning, and about then, the bombs exploded.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this big ball of fire, and then a huge cloud of black smoke, and my first thought was somebody put live bombs on there by mistake.
It is.
So you still didn't believe you were under attack. You still thought this was the gung-ho Marines, and somebody screwed up.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. Yeah, who would have thought that the Japanese could come 4,000 miles without being discovered?
Right.
You know, we were so far superior to them, as so we'd been told, and here they come all these miles without being detected. It's so unbelievable.
So your next move was to do what?
Well, as I was watching that cloud of smoke, I felt the ship lurch sideways. We were being torpedoed on the other side of the ship, the opposite of where I was.
Now, these weren't from submarines.
No.
Torpedo planes.
Torpedo planes from the carriers.
Right.
About 180, 200 miles out from Hawaii.
Right. We're speaking to Lee Soucy, by the way, on Pearl Harbor Day. He was actually there. So now your vessel's been hit by a Japanese torpedo.
Yes.
And your next move, and you're down below. How many decks?
No, I was just, down one deck. You know,
just down one deck.
Yeah.
All right, so now you go topside.
No.
No.
While watching when the torpedo hit, we rather quickly got the orders for general quarters, you know, to go to your battle station.
Right.
On ships, you know, battle station. Everybody's got a specific location and specific duties.
Right.
So
mine's the fetal position under my desk.
Yeah.
Well, what was your battle station?
My battle station was amidship below deck. I was a medical corpsman, a pharmacist mate.
Uh-huh.
So my job was to establish a first aid station down there. And while I was running to my battle station, well, first when we got the order to general quarters, I grabbed my first aid kit and I put my Red Cross brassard,
mm-hmm.
you know, the medical insignia, which I donated to the Nimitz Museum in Fredericksburg, Texas, a few years ago. But anyway, as I was running down the passageway and putting on this brassard, another torpedo hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it knocked me off balance, and I don't know whether it knocked me out for couple of seconds, but I got up dazed. When I dived down to my battle station, there were already about four or five men down there. Water was already seeping, and everybody was wondering out loud, you know, but what in the world is going on? What kind of a drill is this?
So, big boys having a party over there.
Yeah.
So you can't go to your battle. You know, I never really thought about that, but when it comes to the battle stations, well, a lot of guys go behind guns and cannons and things like that, but there needs to be a whole group that are dedicated to firefighting and refueling and replenishing ammunition. There's a whole bunch of people that don't go to a battle station when there's a battle station
with
general quarters.
Well, the battle station is at the guns or...
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can't get to your battle station because your battle station is filling up with water.
Well, it was filling up with water as I climbed down this ladder, the stairway, to this compartment. That's when I no sooner got down there than we got the whistle, the bosun's whistle, and the bugler, the orders to abandon ship.
You must have been thinking this is like some kind of crazy video game, man.
Never saw it. Well, of course, video games had been invented.
What?
No video
games.
What
kind of world was this? I'm glad I wasn't born. So you go up now and you're going to abandon ship. Now, how many souls are on the ship?
There's 500 to 550. On board, maybe 450 at that time.
And... And you get off the ship, evidently, and the ship sinks when? How soon after that?
Well, it was just a matter of minutes, within maybe 7 or 8 minutes. But after I got off, I was a good swimmer and a good diver.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get away from there as quick as possible and as far as possible because we were loaded with ammunition. And mm-hmm. I was afraid the ship would blow up.
Right.
So I dived off, and when I bobbed to the surface, I looked around. There was a motor launch picking up these swimmers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started swimming towards that motor launch, and about them, the Japanese pilots, after they dropped their bombs or torpedoes, would come around and machine gun the people on the ship or in the water.
Right.
And these bullets were hitting between me and the motor launch. So when I saw that, and when the plane banked, I saw the red insignia. That's the first.
That's when you knew.
I knew it was the Japanese. And I decided I better swim ashore, 300, 350 feet.
Before then, he didn't know. Could have been Israel. Could have been Switzerland.
Yeah.
Could have been Mexico. Did not know.
Yeah.
Then you knew it was the Japanese. Now, you're floating in Pearl Harbor.
Yeah.
There's zeros buzzing around all above you like mosquitoes. They're firing.
Yeah.
These bastards are firing on the boats of the people that have been saved from the ships. They're just machine gunning those boats.
Yeah.
And there's fires everywhere. There's panic. Ships are on fire. How did you make it to shore? And how long did it take you to make it to shore?
Well, I don't know how long, but I bet. Do you know Johnny Weissmuller? Ever heard of Johnny Weissmuller?
Sure, Tarzan.
Yeah. Tarzan.
Well, I could have beat Johnny Weissmuller that day.
Brian just masturbated him last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you swam your... Tarzan was an Olympic swimmer before Tarzan, became Tarzan.
World's greatest at the time.
Yeah. You talk to Seacrest, drop that reference, see how he does. Here's the point. You get to shore, and you realize it is on. This is World War II.
Yeah.
Now that you're still in a lot of danger because there's fire and there's still the zeros buzzing around. How long did the actual attack go on for? And I think there was two waves, right?
Yeah.
There was a second wave that came in.
The first wave lasted about maybe 30, 40 minutes.
And where were you when the second wave came in?
I was at a new concrete building, the only concrete building, a multi-story on Fort Island. It was a three-story bachelor officer's quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Brand new. And this other pharmacist mate from the Utah, Gordon Sumner, and I set up a first aid station in that building.
Good, yeah.
We were getting casualties like that swam through burning oil, wounds of different kinds.
I could imagine.
And
not only do you have a concrete building, but you have a nice supply of booze there, too, by the way, which is something you're looking for.
We ran out of alcohol, you know, to wash off the oil so that we could treat the wounds, the bullet holes or shrapnel wounds. And so we used vodka, gin, whiskey, and to clean the wounds.
Sure. And now, we're speaking to Lee Susie, by the way, survivor of Pearl Harbor. Now, Lee, I must say I'm impressed because a lot of the times when you hear these people, I heard yesterday, you know, today is Pearl Harbor Day. It's the 66th anniversary of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and we're going to speak to a survivor. I thought we were going to talk to someone who was 11 at the time, who was on a sugarcane farm, and who saw a couple of planes fly overhead on their way to bomb Pearl Harbor. I didn't know we were going to talk to a guy who was literally in Pearl Harbor while it was on fire.
The Fort Island is right in the middle of Pearl Harbor.
And Lee, just because we're about out of time, for you, what happened after that? Did you then go to war? Did you stay stateside? Did you stay in Hawaii? What did you do?
Well, mostly at the Naval Hospital at Pearl Harbor. The night after, on December 7th, around 11 midnight, I was transferred to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the first transport, the first convoy that went from Pearl Harbor to the States to deliver patients. That, like the ship I was on, we had patients that were burnt from head to toe.
I couldn't imagine, and especially with the technology back then, which was limited.
Now, I'm actually thinking about when you say, I can't imagine. I can't. I'm thinking, can you imagine your choice? There's bullets just flying in the water right behind you.
Yeah.
In front of you, the water is on fire. Yeah. What are your options? And you've got to decide, I'm going to swim in fire.
Yeah, well, I was too fast for the fire. That was a minute after I'd already reached shore. Now, on the other side of the island in Battleship Row, when the Arizona blew up and the Oklahoma and the West Virginia were torpedoed, there was immediate fire. But the Utah did not catch on fire. It sank.
It sunk.
It hit bottom before anybody else, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But it did not catch on fire.
Well, Lee, I'm just going to go ahead and call you a hero, buddy.
Well, I was a victim of circumstances. I just did what we'd been trained to do.
Well, you did it. You did it well. Lee, Susie, it was great speaking to you, and I'd like to speak to you this time next year.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Lee, Susie, do you do anything special on December 7th every year?
Well, that's late. You know, we go through in intermediate years. The Pearl Harbor Survivors Association meets in Hawaii every 5 years. The years in between are not really big, except it seems that they're getting bigger now than they were, say, 10, 15 years ago. I don't know.
Now,
have you ever been there and met any of the pilots that bombed Pearl Harbor? Because I've seen that on television.
Yeah, well, I've met with a group of Japanese pilots.
That's why he brings a snow shovel.
5 years ago.
Going to Hawaii, it doesn't snow. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And, wow, that's surreal. So now you don't have another one coming up for another 4 years, right?
Well, no, in between we meet in the States.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So the next meeting will be at the Admiral Nimitz Museum in Fredericksburg, Texas.
Good times.
And then the Pearl Harbor survivors... Every 5 years, they say, this is the last one. We're getting too old and stuff like that.
But you keep going.
The next one would be in 71.
Well, wait. The next one would be when?
The 71st.
Oh, the 71st. But you meant the year. I got freaked out for a second.
Right. I'm sorry.
71st anniversary, not the 66.
No, the 70th. I'm sorry.
Right. That would make sense. Right.
2011, I guess. Yeah. We'll be 70 years.
Hey,
so between now and then, your plans every December 7th are not to be dead.
No. I've taken my family to Hawaii and Pearl Harbor, my children, grandchildren, and I have one piece of shrapnel left that was hit that I picked up outside the building where we set up a first aid station.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to take my grandson and my great-grandson, great-granddaughter, and donate that to the Air Museum on Fort Island.
God bless you.
And Godspeed. Lee Susie, we'll speak to you this time next year.
Okay.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Wow. What a guy.
There's a very good chance we actually will speak to that guy. When you said we're going to talk to him, he's 88, I went, oh, this is going to suck. I could not be more lucid.
Yeah, he was awesome. And again, it wasn't one of those hero things where you find out the hero just called 911 and then ran for shelter. This guy was right in the heat of the battle. And the guys that don't get enough credit, you know, there's all the guys that they don't make movies about. Because the guys they make the movie about are the guys that were storming the beach at Normandy. But what they don't talk about is all the guys behind the scene, all the merchant marines that just got sunk out in the Atlantic, and all the medics and corpsmen and guys like that that had to deal with the guys who just had their flesh burned off and who got shot and killed. Even if they weren't returning fire, still... fire was incoming on them. These guys are heroes, too. We need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
What's coming up in the news?
I will tell you who Barbara Walter says is the most fascinating person of 2007. And Rihanna's hit song, Could You Have Also Made It Yourself on Your Macintosh?
Her umbrella song?
Yeah. I'm going to break it down for you.
I have one called The Rain Slicker. I probably shouldn't say anything.
have one called The Rubbers. It's totally different.
We'll take ourselves a break. Also, Joel McHale waiting in the wings as well. We'll do all that next.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Oh, there they are.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Coming up this morning, from The Sopranos, Joe Pantoliano.
Oh, that's nice. Very nice. That's how you talk to a man in front of his friends?
From The Soup, Joel McHale.
The O could stand for awesome.
Plus, this week in Rage, where we get to listen to Adam go off about everything that pissed him off this week.
Let me say this. Everyone buckle up for a quick jag.
Vote for your favorites at AdamCarolla.com. The news with Teresa Strasser and a story about Danny Bonaducci.
We all know that I really like that girl, Amy, right?
I know I said a story, but you can pluralize that. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Dooch Man in Vegas, T-Woman here in studio, and hey, Danny, have you seen any celebrities other than other radio guys wandering
Literally,
around?
I went to dinner at 6 o'clock and went to bed. I've seen no one do anything.
And this morning, nobody's walking up and down Radio Row.
It's funny, I just noticed a sign that said Radio Row, and there must be 20 big signs that somebody spent some real dough on. But none of them are here.
None of the celebrities are there.
None
of
the radio,
stations. Good
just
time.
Me and over this big boy.
We will move ahead with the news and Teresa Strasser.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Barbara Walters' annual special, Barbara Walters Presents the 10 Most Fascinating People of 2007, aired last night. Barbara kicked off the show by talking to Justin Timberlake. First, she asked him about his In a Box song parody, and then she asked him about Rolling Stone naming him the new king of sex.
Rolling Stone called you the new king of sex. Do you think you're sexy?
I don't know. I'll hold on to that title. I'll hold on to that title for as long as I can. You know, Brad, George, you guys may be on the most beautiful whatever, but,
You know what? You're 26. And then...
Yes. Eat your heart out, boys.
Wow.
It's weird because she's talking to him about sex, about that In a Box with the ding-a-ling and the box that he did on Saturday Night Live and now being Mr. Sexy and bringing sexy back. And it's uncomfortable. It's like when your grandma would tell you, now, Teresa, you've had your period. You've had your menses now. You know you can become impregnated if you have intercourse with an individual, with a male. His penis becomes erect, and it's like, it becomes engorged with blood.
Grandma,
and you're
no.
like, oh, please, Grandma, I'm going to throw up into your bonnet. Please stop it.
See, I was more appalled by Justin's answer. Who says yes?
Well, he just took it, I think, after she laid it in his lap.
Well, when he said, I'll hold on to that title, I thought, fine, that's funny, that's cute. But then when he started to really explain it, I'm much younger than these guys, it's like, dude, don't you get humble here? Because I've heard he's this like a really nice guy, but it did sound like he really thinks he's that sexy.
Well, I think she explained it.
Yeah.
And he just sort of went, I'm going to get out of this much faster if I just smile and nod my head. And my
don't
grandma.
Get me wrong. I'd do him after a couple of drinks, but I just don't think he's that hot.
I don't think he thinks he is either. I think that was her foisting it on him and him thinking, I got to get out of grandmother asking me about sex.
Right.
I will not be able to achieve an erection. There's no way I'm going to be able to nail
Even with
Jessica Biel. Not going to be able to nail her tonight if grandma keeps talking about sex.
It's almost impossible not to like. You want to hate Justin Timberlake.
You'd love to hate him.
He's a great
it's hard.
Guy.
He's a guy's guy and a ladies' man.
Mm. Guy's guy.
Guy's guy.
Let's not go that far. Didn't you just describe Austin Powers?
Yeah, let's not go that far.
Most men don't mind Justin Timberlake. They aren't annoyed.
You know what it is? I'll tell you what it is with Justin Timberlake and men. We are prepared to be annoyed when we hear, speak of Justin Timberlake. And then we do that thing where we go, oh, I thought this was going to be bad and it wasn't that bad. It's like every third time you go to the dentist and somebody goes to you, hey, you got that root canal, you got the crown put on? How that must have been. And you go, you know what? Hey, you know what? Actually, wasn't bad. Wasn't bad. That's what it's like with guys and Justin Timberlake. We are prepared to want to put a hit out on him when he talks about
right.
his things. And then we watch him and we go, all right, not so bad. And then that gets turned into guy's guy because we don't want to kill him.
Well, Posh and Becks are so fascinating
that
they
riveting.
Took up two spots on the list.
There's like a ninth grade diploma between the two of those
well,
two morons.
Well, the news to me, Posh is the smart one in that couple.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
They are so lucky they have English accents.
It helps.
Because if those two were from Mississippi, you'd be like, would you get these two hillbillies off the TV set? I can feel my IQ going down.
Well, they've been married for 10 years, and here they explain how their relationship began.
You saw a video of the Spice Girls, and you said, I want her.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to marry that girl.
Was it love or was it lust?
I think it was a bit of both.
You should say lust.
Without a doubt. Well, it was probably lust then.
Yeah, it was love. You saw her on a, video and said, I love what this woman is saying. About what she wants, what she really, really wants.
More about that magical evening.
And you didn't know who David was?
No, I just I went to a game with Simon Fuller, who was my manager and still is. And he just introduced me to David. And what I loved about him, all the other players were at the bar with their friends getting drunk. And David was there with his family, with his mother and his father and his younger sister. And I love that about him, you know.
She was very drunk, so she gave me a number.
But that doesn't sound great. You shouldn't say that.
He was at the bar effing a stepsister. Now,
well,
listen.
He spends time with family.
I just love that. I never know who they are. And look, maybe you do never know who they are, except for the person that says, I want you to go with me to this game, or I want to set you up with whoever. You go, I don't know who that is. And they go, oh, you don't? This guy happens to be a billionaire. He's great looking. Go ahead and Google him. And he's a household name. So then you know who they are. It's like a blind date where you go, I don't know who the guy is. And then somebody reads their last year's tax return to you. And you go, oh, all right, count me in.
Well, Barbara also spoke to Chris and Tom from MySpace. They made her a MySpace page. That was equally uncomfortable as the sex talk. I think her song, they gave her an Ethel Merman song. For her MySpace page, slightly degrading.
Hooray for Hollywood.
I think it was either that or there's no business like show business.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other.
The day the music died.
And the most fascinating person of 2007. I really thought it was going to be Al Gore, but it was J.K. Rowling, Harry Potter author.
You're kidding.
No, and Barbara did not have a sit down with her. They just did kind of a piece.
It was a weird thing. By then, I was pretty liquored up. So
four red wines into the evening.
Yeah, so things were starting to become a blur at that point. But I said, didn't they just sit down with Beckham and Orange Spice for like 20 minutes? And now the timpani and the drum roll, and we get to who's number one, and they show some file footage from like CNN on J.K. Rowling's, and then that's it. Pow, we're gone.
Cut together some old footage, and good night.
Are you allowed to do that? So Barbara Walters sits down with the 10 most... the 9 most fascinating people on the planet. And then when she unveils the number one, she's not there?
No. Well, arguably, she wasn't there for about 6 of them.
She was out of it. But wouldn't you have an interview with the most fascinating? And by the way, if you just took J.K. Rowling and made her number 2, and you took Clinton, who she had to sit down with, and you made him number 1, would you get piles of angry letters? Do you know what I mean? Would people be outraged? Like, where's J.K.? Where's the chick that wrote the books for the kids?
No one would probably notice.
Well, there's another way to look at it, and that would be that she is so fascinating that she can't be found. She's a mystery. You know, you could look at it that way.
Yeah. I would go, if they made Bin Laden number 1, which would have been a ballsy move.
Speaking
would have been
of
a
which,
ballsy
have
and
heard?
Listen, it's not fascinating. Yeah. It's not great or philanthropic. It's just fascinating and sad but true. That guy, you could call him a lot of things, but I think you'd have to call him fascinating.
Well, let me say this. I don't know if you've read or heard about it. But you know Morgan Spurlock,
mm-hmm.
the Super Size Me documentarian?
Yes.
They say that he has a new movie, you know, some kind of looking for Bin Laden, and there's some talk that Spurlock's found Bin Laden.
Really?
Yeah, they showed this at Sundance, and now there's all kind of buzz that Spurlock has found him.
And made him fat.
I don't... I sort of doubt it, but on the other hand, I am a big fan of the sort of private industry. You know, it's like these stories where some kid gets stricken with some disease and science doesn't have an answer for it. So the dad quits his job and never leaves the library. And 2 years later, he comes up with a concoction in his kitchen where there's a will, there's a way kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe there is that sort of thing with Bin Laden.
I would not be surprised if he found at least some information that the government did not have.
Well, maybe it's also possible that Bin Laden found him. He knows who this guy is. He knows he poses no threat. He knows he makes our government look stupid by the guy that eats a lot of fries can find me, but you can't.
Mm.
So maybe he gets over there. He's looking for Bin Laden. Bin Laden hears all about it and says, this ought to make America look stupid. I'll talk to this guy.
He probably called Michael Moore on a speed dial or Bill Maher and said, hey, can you put me in touch with this guy? Benny Laden, how are you and the terrible towels doing over there? Yeah, hold on, I'll get you Morgan's number. And then Bill Maher, you know, just yelled at his publicist. Next thing you know, he shot him over an email, and they're doing lunch at the Ivy.
50th annual Grammy Awards were announced yesterday. Kanye West led the pack with 8 nominations. Rihanna's song Umbrella, nominated for 3 Grammys. Song of the Year, Record of the Year, Best Rap Song Collaboration. And as popular as the song has been, here's something that was pointed out. If you've got a new Mac computer, this was pointed out by Fox News columnist Roger Friedman yesterday. If you've got a Macintosh, it has a production program called GarageBand.
Mm-hmm.
And in that program, you'll find some beats labeled Vintage Funk Kit 03. And there is pretty much no doubt that those beats are the same as the opening of the song Umbrella. Let's hear a little bit of Vintage Funk Kit 03 from GarageBand. Okay, now, let's hear the first 11 seconds of the Rihanna song Umbrella.
Oh, Rihanna, same.
Exactly the same.
Take 3. Action.
They did it on a Mac.
They may have. It sounds very similar.
Take that, PC guy. You old greasy-haired white guy, you nerd with your glasses and your clip-on tie. Ha!
In your face.
Nerd, in your face.
I've got one of those. I wish I knew how to use... There's so much stuff on that Mac that you can do that I have no idea how to do that the kids... My daughter can make a movie.
Yeah, it's now officially mocking me. My computer knows so much more than I do and has so many more capabilities. Well, now what's she singing about with her Umbrella song?
I cannot... First of all, I finally found out what To the Left means, that Beyonce song, Irreplaceable.
Yeah.
My favorite song of the year, but what does she mean, To the Left?
What does it mean?
Well, he had to put... She's kicking out her boyfriend and telling him to put all his stuff to the left.
Yeah. You see, and it's the same with the Umbrella. I think they came up with Umbrella and then wrote a song about it. I think they just, Rihanna liked the way it sounded when she said Umbrella. I can't figure out if I like her, and I don't think I do.
Dude.
I'm annoyed by her already. Oh, wait a minute.
Dude, I waited for you.
This is quite the mashup.
I waited
now
for
I like
you,
it.
Man.
Well, this just goes to show
ass
you,
anybody
with a laptop
you,
can be
man.
A recording sensation now. Keep going, Bald Brian.
Not bad. See? You too can do this with GarageBand.
Dude.
Need an umbrella for the pot
I
water.
Waited for you, man.
Good. Thank you. I've got other good Grammy news.
Mm.
Very good. You know how they have a Grammy for Best Comedy Album?
Mm-hmm.
And usually there are a bunch of people who you haven't heard of or who aren't funny.
Right.
Not this year.
What happened?
Friend of the show and one of all of our favorite comedians, Lisa Lampanelli, nominated for a Grammy for Dirty Girl.
Harry Potter's retarded cousin.
Yeah.
Great.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
And worth it. She really, if anybody, we're just watching her at that roast for, I did that roast for Gene Simmons,
mm-hmm.
and everybody just sat there going, I hope we don't have to follow Lampanelli.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to go on after her, and luckily no one had to because they saved her for last, and sure enough, she kicked ass. But, dude, she's the meanest person in the world.
Not in life.
Yeah.
And as long as it's a joke. I mean, it's a joke, so I don't mean that right. she's actually mean, but her, she'll say stuff that even if I was holding a sign that says, I'm joking, don't get mad, mm-hmm. I still wouldn't say.
Yeah, she is great. I've done roasts with her, too, and that's where she really shines.
She
well, that is great.
Heat.
Good for her.
Yeah, yeah, she's competing against George Lopez, Flight of the Conchords. They have an album, The Distant Future.
Mm-hmm.
You like them?
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Wright, I Still Have a Pony, and Harry Shearer, also very funny. Songs pointed and pointless, but I think we'll all be rooting for Lisa Lampanelli.
Well, she don't stand a chance, but Grammy nominated means something, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's huge. You can never take that away. I'm Emmy winner Teresa Strasser. That's
amazing. Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
She should be mentioned that T has a local dusk time Emmy.
They make those.
Yeah, they make an afternoon Emmys, daytime Twilight. Emmys, Twilight Emmys, and a dusk. They have local dusk. She won it for the Fullerton area and the hours between 5:30 and 6:18 in the
Happy
PM.
Happy dusk, Fullerton. You don't think it's easy to come up with an hour of material on the happenings in Fullerton?
She beat out every other program on the station, on the Fullerton public access station that comes on between 5:30 and 6:18 in the PM. Hey, Joe Pantoliano. Now, I want to say Pantaleone, but I think it's Pantaleano.
It's Pantaleano.
A Pantaleano. Well, there you go. Thanks, Bald Brian. Hmm. He is, of course, from The Sopranos, and now new movie, The Amateurs. He'll be on the show next, and then Dreamboat, Joel McHale, in next. Danny in Vegas, and we'll be back.
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
This is Lisa Lampanelli, comedy's lovable queen of mean. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Does the shoulder strap of your car cut into your shoulder? Introducing the Titty Bear.
From Ease the Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh, my God!
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Joey Pants is running a little bit late, so we brought Joey Underpants in, namely Joel McHale, the dreamboat.
Joey Underpants.
Yeah, have you done
Underpants.
Something new with your hair? It's looking especially good.
Well, I burned off a lot of my hair on Halloween from the barbecue exploding, and now it's grown back a lot.
You never.
I burned off my eyelashes, my eyebrows, and all this hair here.
You never try to ignite a briquette with a Piccolo Pete. I've told you that many, many times. Danny is in Vegas this morning.
Oh, I thought he was just sitting.
Oh.
Danny, I'm kidding. I love you deeply.
I know you do, because you know I'm coming home.
The tallest man in show business. Cast a large shadow and larger doubts on young Bonaducci. All right, Joel.
Yes.
From the Soup on E. Everyone loves your program.
God bless you.
No one's seen it.
No,
but
it's on
theory,
E.
But in theory... No, I got to say, there's shows that are good that I don't like to watch, and then there's shows that are good that are very, just eminently watchable. Joel yes. McHale's show is very watchable. You guys know what I'm saying? It's like that movie that's a good movie, but you don't really want to see it again, or you wouldn't recommend it to your friends.
Right.
Yeah.
This is not that. You turn on The Soup, you see Joel, it's moving, it's loose, it's fast, it's funny, and it's just so hard to change the channel, but I do.
What?
I mean,
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
But my hand is trembling as I pick up the remote, Joel.
Joel, do you ever...
I was going to say, that was almost wonderful.
It was. Do you ever hear from any of the people whose clips you use that are angry?
No one has outwardly been upset with us other than Tyra and Hef one time.
Mm.
Tyra has notified us that she was not happy after we ran a clip of her... Well, I think it was first her fear of dolphins.
Kiss my fat ass!
I'm sorry, Tyra.
That was her memo?
Yeah, it was her memo. And then when she went out, so she dressed up as a stripper, and she was going to strip, and she could not bring herself to pull the curtain back, and she started crying, and she ran away. And we said, God forbid she walk out on stage wearing hardly any clothing to make money. And then we showed the Victoria's Secret thing of her strutting down, and that's when we got the letter from her lawyer. So
I've asked this question before, but I can't remember what the answer was. Tyra did her thing where she got into the fat suit, went undercover to find out that we don't like fat people. Thanks for that hint. And then she turned into a crazy, ugly person more recently, but I haven't seen that yet. We saving that for sweeps, or what's going on with that one?
I feel like that aired, but it wasn't as great as the fat one. She was
begging. I saw it promoed on like Entertainment Tonight like 3 weeks ago, but I never actually saw it air.
Well, how many TiVo? How many Tyra episodes are backed up on your TiVo, Adam?
Oh,
currently, like,
my God, it's like the waiting list to get into this country.
Right. Well, you need to take maybe a weekend,
really sit down and get me some Tyra.
If you can bring the TiVo with you to maybe a hotel room and just fill up on Tyra.
You're right.
Tyra time. Yeah. You know, I think some people take me time. I think you need a little Tyra time.
I think it's Tyra time now because unafraid of Tyra and her band of lawyers. Don't you have some Tyra clips?
Yes, we do. Oh, you're going to like these, Adam.
Mm.
How many Bow Wow albums do you have?
All of them, plus the greatest hits so far.
Right, okay. Well, she had Bow Wow and Omarion on.
Don't call him Little Bow Wow anymore, by
the
way.
No, no, no. He's Pudgy Bow Wow now.
Yeah.
He's Bow Pudge. He was on. They were talking about how their what they do during sex.
Mm. That's her new thing. She gets into the sex with everybody.
Yeah. So this really just speaks for itself. I think her brainstem might have been working during this.
When a man loves a woman,
right,
he takes his flower stem and puts it all over her petals.
Okay.
And then they rub the stem and petals together, and then they make little daisies. If you ever fall in love with a woman and you want to rub your stem on her petals, you have to put on gardening gloves.
I don't know whether to do masturbate or plant bulbs.
Yeah,
I really don't. But
she made $14 million last year.
Let me just say this.
$14 million.
About Tyra. Obviously, we grade on a curve, because if she was just an unattractive journalist, we'd be screaming to have this woman pulled off the air.
Yeah.
She can string together a sentence barely, but for a supermodel, right, she's Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
We grade her on a curve. That's what we do. We don't know we're doing it, but we give you one number for looks, one number for your brain, and then we add them up. She is a 9.5 in the looks department and has a 10-cent brain, but together her combined score gets around Diane Sawyer's level.
Right.
Sadly. Yeah. Now, here's the problem. This is going to get old when she gets old.
Right.
You see, when Tyra's boobies are dragging and she no longer has to don the fat suit to be a fat chick, we are going to get tired of her sitting there talking sex, because now it's going to get like Barbara Walters talking to Justin Timberlake about his Pepe in a Box.
Right.
Who the hell was she talking to about stems and petals?
That was Bow Wow. Bow Wow.
And he was sitting
on her lap. He's in his mid-20s.
He's older than his dad, Master P.
Yeah.
Is that his dad?
The ballroom dancer?
Yes. Yeah. Isn't Master P Bow Wow?
I get confused between Lil Romeo,
Lil Romeo
and Lil Bow Wow.
There's too many L-I-L.
I know.
And then the name.
Wasn't it a better time when there was just Little Jimmy Osmond? And he just pretended
Little Stevie
to play, he just pretended to play that trumpet every week, and it broke our hearts.
No, I think Tyra, I mean, the fact, I mean, she makes $14 million. Just kills you. It kills me. Oprah couldn't get away with that for fucking, never mind.
All right.
But it gets better, everybody.
Uh-oh.
Omarion is the next up in this list of, I'm sorry. He's the next up, he's after Bow Wow, talking, and she berates him, but he says
something.
Well,
who is Omarion?
I believe he is also a hip-hop singer, and I'm surprised. We went to the concert last week together, Adam.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham
I was
Wellington.
Tweaking so hard on X.
Oh, you were.
I didn't even
right.
know where I was.
We were at the Universal Amphitheater.
Okay, Adam.
I was on your shoulders, and I still didn't know who was on stage.
You challenged me to sprint back to your house, and you sprinted.
I was out of vapor rub.
Adam, I have to help you here.
Yes.
Okay, you don't tweak on X.
Oh.
You tweak on meth, and you roll.
I was rolling.
You were rolling.
I don't want to correct you, but this X had a lot of it had a lot of speed in it.
I see.
I may have been tweaking. I may need to tweak my roll. Either way, it was a glorious evening. I just remember none of it, Joel.
So I'm sorry, but he says
I was sucking on a pacifier. I had my shirt off, and I had this Dayglow lip balm I used to draw circles around my nipples.
Your voice was hoarse after screaming Omarion so many times over here.
I can't
Omarion,
believe I can't
over
remember.
Here.
Awesome.
So he went on and he said something to Tyra on her show.
Mm-hmm.
That it's you'll have to really listen to it, but it is it's something I wish I could do.
Do you like to talk during lovemaking?
I do.
You like to talk? Mm-hmm. What do you say? Say I'm your girlfriend. What do you say?
Shut up. Say something. Shut up.
He just told Tyra to shut up on her own show.
Yeah.
I have to take my hat off to Omarion.
Oh, can you imagine the double-edged sword known as making love to Tyra Banks? Like, on one hand, you're nailing a supermodel. On the other hand, she's throwing a panty party and yelling to kiss her fat
and
ass.
And what if her wig kind of slides forward and covers her face,
yeah.
and then it's a cousin it
and
type?
And the bangs now... you've made the point on your show that
the bangs are 7 inches long.
Yeah.
They start at the back of her head.
Right.
She's almost combing her wig over now.
Right. She's cousin it. Yeah, I can't. She's like a sheepdog. If you cut the bangs, she'd go blind. Do you know that?
By the way,
don't cut her bangs.
If you ever do it with a girl who wears a wig, or in my case, extensions, and during the process they come off, at first, your first thought is, God, I am the greatest lover in the world.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh my God, what has happened here? Because it's a whole new person. But you make love to a girl and her wig or extensions go flying, you think you're a god
you're
for
like,
about
I
a minute.
I think I'm
and
having
half.
Sex with someone with radiation poisoning.
I don't want to freak you guys out, but Tyra has bangs on her merkin.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, she wears a full-length merkin
Does
downstairs.
Does she highlight the merkin, too?
She has a weave. She has a merkin weave down there. And
she can change... She does have a lot of different merkins, though, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, for different occasions. Sure.
Different cuts.
Yeah, you wouldn't wear the same one at a wedding that you wore at a funeral, for instance.
They have to be cleaned.
Yeah, then there's a summertime one. Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
Let's give a tease and take a break.
Tease that, just play that. Sure. Yeah, here you go. This one.
I said to Hannah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell's that?
Little show called Bad Girls, my friend.
Oh, that wasn't Regis and Kelly? All right, take ourselves a break. Be back with more clips, more Joel McHale from The Soup on E! Tonight.
Hi, this is Patrick Swayze wishing you the best for a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Happy Holidays from The Adam Carolla Show. Thursday morning, December 13th.
I really, really, really wish you would consider running for president.
Wow.
The pageantry.
There's a new hot blonde naked chick. Go get her and bring her front and center.
The glory.
Glenn?
Yes.
You have some golf balls for sale?
Yes, I do.
Used golf balls.
Uh-huh.
The drama.
Do you have an answer to my question?
No.
The laughter.
You know what? I gotta be more respectful of other people.
And the tears.
My name's Ted Nugent. I kill elephants. Eat me.
The majesty that is. The Ace Awards.
Ben Stiller. Sugar Ray Leonard. What's happening, Jamie Foxx? Ray Liotta.
Here he is, Adam Carolla, everybody.
Celebrating another magical year.
Adam Carolla, I love you.
December 13th.
Powerful. Powerful stuff. I like when I label my own stuff as powerful.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Looking forward to that, Joel McHale.
I am inspired and I have a tear running down my face.
That's powerful.
That music.
Joel is more than a friend of the show. He's a lover. Joel McHale.
I'm a fluffer of the show.
From the
hey, I'm coming on that on Thursday. I'm bringing top clips of the year.
Oh, that's going to be great. Joel McHale will be with us. Yep. Danny is in Vegas right now.
Yes, I am.
Danny, have you seen any celebrities walk down Radio Row yet?
Not a one. I would have to say I'm the biggest name in the room.
Joey Pants.
On the street corner where you're smoking.
Joey Pants is going to be in here. You guys know him from The Sopranos. I think I fell in love with this man in Midnight Run. He was great in that. Fun movie, by the way. And one of those movies that holds up quite nicely. It's coming up on 20 years old.
And don't forget Vinny the Killer Pimp.
Oh, yeah.
Risky Business.
Risky Business. That's right. Killer Pimp. All right. Speaking of Killer Pimps, yes. Joel McHale has a few more clips.
Okay. I got this clip from Madonna, and I hope audio-wise it can do justice as it did visually. Now, this is at the premiere of Guy Ritchie's new film, Madonna's Husband. And he is being interviewed. She is off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to imagine every time she speaks, he is trying to speak. And then at one point, you'll kind of hear it. He gives up talking at all at his own premiere of the movie he wrote and directed, or just directed.
At the premiere of his crime drama, Revolver, Guy tried to explain the title, but his wife butted in.
Revolving door of your ego.
Oh,
it's
a friend of yours, isn't it?
My kids really want to go to one of his movies, so could you hurry up, please?
Yes.
Rahul complained that you don't make movies that
I know,
he gets to
he's
watch,
complained so. To me, too.
Yeah, okay.
He doesn't invite me very often, you know why? Because during the lunch hour, they always wrestle.
Oh.
He does jiu-jitsu on his breaks. So unless you're ready to put on a gi and get down on the floor.
Any big family traditions for the holidays?
Yeah, we spend time with each other.
He's like, I'm going to bang the nanny an extra time this weekend just because you can't stop butting in, bitch.
When he got asked that last question, the guy put the microphone to his mouth and he sat there with his mouth closed smiling like this. And then she was waiting and then came around. Oh, yeah, we're going to spend time with each other.
Well, that has to be a double-edged sword being Mrs. Madonna because,
I'm just going to call it a quadruple-edged sword. No, just a pike that gets rammed into your chest.
Yeah. Oh, it's that bad?
It's a piece of rebar.
She's Rob the Impaler.
She is a very dynamic presence, and she makes gazillions of dollars.
And it's got to be horrible for her husband to be interviewed about something, and she's not being asked all the questions.
Well, and there's nothing you do where we wouldn't wish that your wife came on instead of you, which has to be tough.
Yeah.
It's that way for Arquette. David Arquette, are you listening? Because he will pop right in. He'll drop down with a zip line right through this corkboard ceiling and be in my face wearing like full makeup, full SEAL team makeup. But I swear to God, I'm waiting for his head to pop up out of this console and then drop back down again. The guy's like a ninja. But I'm just saying, let's be honest. You know, when you have like Arquette as a guest on your show, you're always thinking, hey, you think maybe you could bring Courtney along with you? And whenever you invite Guy Ritchie on, there's a little bit, hey, it's Guy. We got Guy Ritchie on the phone. Is Madonna, is she around?
I make movies. I make important films.
No, that's awesome stuff. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Bagels. But
somewhere on tour, but I have these films that I would like to talk about.
Like what's Madonna like?
I Snatch was one of my...
Yeah, could you snatch Madonna, toss her on the blower?
Like swept away or whatever it was.
Could you sweep her away and put her on the speakerphone with us?
Can we just not say
anything? Is she in the house now?
No, she's
what is she?
She's
what's
getting
she
some
like?
Buns.
Does she ever
she's
talk about me?
She's getting a bun and a tea. She's putting on a Nickers. She's in the rubbish pile.
That has to be horrible.
It's horrible.
And by the way, Madonna, who went to England twice and came back sounding like Julie Andrews from Mary Poppins, now must have a full-blown Cockney accent.
But did you hear her here? When she's nagging Guy Ritchie, totally
it's
Detroit.
Yeah.
It's to Michigan.
That's the Detroit side.
All right. You know and love the show I Love New York Too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Of course. Well, this was the episode where it's down to the final three, so they go and meet the parents. And here is the entertainer's mom meeting New York's mom. It doesn't go well.
I'm sure your wife tells you how gorgeous you are.
Oh, you're so full of
really?
Who did your hair?
Transvestite, that's what you look like.
Yeah? Yeah?
Your mother is a hateful piece of
I think you have too much testosterone.
I do, and I look much better than you.
How old are you?
I love that wig you wear.
That look like you're wearing a beaver's ass on your head.
Your husband's hair looks better than
you're wearing a wig.
My husband's ass. That's right, I am wearing a wig.
Come here.
$1,500. Cheap. Wearing your husband's jock strap on your head.
I'd rather wear his jock strap than your wig.
Shut up, you fat ass.
I'm sorry, that was from Law and Order. I was totally wrong.
By the way, first off, you writers just keep going strike. Keep striking. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah,
it's official. There are too many cameras and too many dumb people ever to need writers
again.
In
their defense, though, they stepped on each other less than the ladies on The View.
That's true.
That is true. And not as dumb as Sherry Shepherd.
No,
also true.
No way. That would be impossible.
All right. Well, there's a show called Bad Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a brilliant show where
people
they just take crazy women and force them to live together.
It's on Oxygen?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's under the guise of women who have troubles will be together in the same house and work on their problems, when it all actually is just people with crazy women getting drunk and hitting each other.
Well, let's call a spade here. Oxygen Network probably set their mission statement 4 years ago was to bring positive change and to depict women in a positive light. And their first few series about called Struggling with Breast Cancer didn't get any ratings. So eventually it's like, F it. Get three fat black chicks and three fat white chicks with tattoos and let them have at it.
That's right.
Put them in an octagon, give them a curling iron, and let them have at it.
When is the Logo Network going to get a house full of homosexual men and do the same kind of fight? It'd just be like the ultimate homosexual.
But is there any healing amongst the bad girls?
Yes. Well, cuts and bruises, and they take a few weeks.
I see, but not emotional.
Yeah, here is, I'm not even sure what's happening. When I came into this, it's just women, a few women holding two women back.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
I said to Hannah, I'm not a bitch to f*** with, because I'm crazy. Because I don't disrespect anybody, and I don't judge, and I don't judge anybody. Back the f*** up for I kill your ass. I will go to jail for you.
Now, what were you saying about the writer's strike?
I'm just saying, I feel like I've seen more footage of people with 4-inch acrylic nails threatening someone with a tall boy of Aquanet and yelling, "Don't disrespect me," in their underpants.
I just hope the fight here tomorrow night is that good.
I want to know what she said to Hannah.
I don't know what was said to Hannah.
I gotta know.
That woman was trying to make a point about Hannah, and I think...
I'm no expert on race identification, but I'm guessing that was one of Hannah's sisters.
Oh, the Woody Allen movie?
Yes. I think she was talking about Hannah Montana.
No, she was from Vietnam. What the...
I'm sorry, Joel.
Weird. All right, so now this is the promo for next week's episode after this fight.
Next time on the Bad Girls Club.
If I said it, I did not mean it like, she's a fat bitch. Like, I don't like the girl. No, she's fat. She's a bitch. Okay.
But I'm not disrespecting her.
No, it's just two things that happen to be facts that when put together seem like a greater insult.
Yeah, it's like when you say toaster oven. You weren't talking... Oh, wait a minute. I guess you were.
And the great thing is that the clips they show from the next week's episode is the same fight. They just have like 4 hours of these women fighting in the same room, and they've cut it up for an entire season.
Well, it is game on, because there's no more decorum anymore. There's no such thing as someone being embarrassed. I mean, there was a time where you'd walk from table to table to wedding and hold a video camera in front of someone and say, "Would you like to raise a toast?" And people would wipe their mouths and like straighten their tie and say, "I'm not much for public speaking." Now
it's like, look at this.
Well, here's what's happening.
No pants.
People are officially now becoming more animal than human being, and animals don't really care who's watching when they hump or fling feces at each other. It's just on. You go to the zoo, the hippo doesn't care whether there's 15 school kids around or it's the middle of the night and there's no one there. If it's horny, it's horny. And if it's got to drop a deuce, it's got to drop a deuce. And by the way, you haven't lived until you've seen a hippo drop a deuce underwater through the Lucite panel in the zoo there. That's a very interesting effect. It's a slow motion confetti effect.
It is awesome.
The point is with all the video cameras and all the crazy uneducated people who don't care what they look like on TV anymore, it is now officially game on.
Yeah. But now with Tila Tequila, where it's bisexual bachelor at Bachelor. Are they going to now incorporate livestock into her?
Tila Tequila.
You know, the MySpace superstar.
Yeah, is she... That
Don't
was,
be a one-upper, like I said before.
That was a dude?
No, Tila's a gal.
Okay.
But she's into both.
Right.
And she's trying to pick... It's just, you know, it's the whole... She's trying to pick between a man or a woman. So it's two groups of men.
It's a group of men, group of women. The wheels have officially come off the wagon because I don't know anymore.
You didn't know about that show?
I knew about the show, but I confused it with the one out of England where the he-she was dating the guys and didn't tell the guys it was a he-she.
Right.
So I'm sitting there with a couple of glasses of wine in me watching a promo on MTV, and I'm thinking Tequila... is a he-she,
right,
and
now
I'm watching it make out with a bunch of dudes, and I'm like, oh, I'm moving to Canada. We're a fish. There's no way I'm raising my kids in this cesspool.
Like to avoid the draft.
Honey, get the wagon and the big triangle reflector. We're going Amish.
I
can build a barn and still salvage a life.
Well, Joel, was it New
Find
York?
Find me a razor that just works on my upper lip. Let's go.
Was it New York who pooped on the floor?
That occurred in the second set. I can't believe I know this. So sad.
I am an atheist.
Guy from the Pearl Harbor, you know, these great facts. I'm like, no, sorry, Teresa. That's from the second season of Flava Flav.
Okay.
I'm an atheist who frequently urinates in the sink. And I sit there watching these shows going, my sensibilities are officially offended. You have crossed the line. As I'm urinating into the sink and thinking about and praying to my non-God.
Yes.
Do you feel like some of this information, Joel, is displacing other important stuff that was in your head?
You mean like news or emotions?
Or the smell of your grandmother's chocolate chip cookies baking when you were a child?
It's funny. All you have to say is smell of the grandmother, and then I think, oh... That could make a great show. You just pay some old people together in the same house, and then you have a competition to see who can smell the worst.
Or who lives the longest?
Yeah, like no, it's officially it'll be it's on.
There probably is a show where an old person they were like, who's going to die first? That's going to happen.
I don't know what state Gettysburg is in, but I do know the name of Ellen's dog that was given to her hairdresser.
Yeah.
This is a very, very, very sad place we've come to.
If only her hairdresser was in Gettysburg. You could have killed two birds with one stone.
Civil War reenactment lapdogs.
Yeah, and people know Captain Crunch better than they do Captain Cook. So.
Do you have another one for us?
No.
Or are we putting a nail in this coffin?
We're going to put a nail. But it just shows you out there, people, no matter how crazy your idea is, it could be a show.
Yep. Joel McHale, everybody, on the soup.
The Ryan Seacrest Network. I'm wondering, in the Ryan Seacrest Memorial Studios.
You do?
Let me tell you what I think.
What?
I think we've officially had an impacted ass full of Seacrest, and I think we're turning the corner a little bit on this guy. There'll be a little blowback after he does the Super Bowl, and we'll have had enough of him. Because he doesn't really provide much content. You know, they're the guys that keep evolving and keep providing content, and we just keep going with these guys. But Seacrest... He's really just a guy you have to look at, and I think we're going to get tired of looking at him this year.
Well, you're speaking blasphemy right now, and I was looking for the sniper rifle trained on him.
Does he have his own SWAT team?
Yes.
Him and
they
cat are going to come out of the ceiling.
It's terrifying.
Joel McHale.
I've seen him kill.
All right, mark my words. Joel McHale. It'll be just like the conversation I had with Jimmy Kimmel in 19, 96 when he told me the presidents of the United States of America were going to be the next Beatles. When he said these are going to be this is going to be the biggest band in the country.
I love that band.
And I do too, but I said, "Nope, She's Lump is about all we got here and they are not going to be Nirvana." And he said, "Mark my words, I feel the same thing about Seacrest. I think his 15 minutes have turned into an hour and 45 minutes, but time is ticking, Seacrest."
28 million over 3 years?
I'm sure you're going to get a great holiday gift at me from
all right.
Seacrest.
No, he's never given me anything.
We will, except for herpes. We'll take a break.
Take back what you said about the president.
Joel McHale, telling Chris Soup Blue. Over in the E building. Friday nights, 10 o'clock. Take a quick break. Joey Pants in next.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
There is no end to the information that you have provided us today.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
Get it all out. Get it all out, you little hoa.
Joe Pantoliano.
I'm a mean guy!
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you, Joey.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
You have a great energy to you.
Thank you, sir.
You just have a good vibe.
Thank you.
You seem like you're in a good place. Have you always been this way?
I was younger, and then when I got older, I kind of, you know, I suffered from clinical depression.
It's, you do?
Yeah. And,
he just discovered this recently while shooting a movie about mental illness.
Yes, that's correct. And we had a mutual friend, Charlie Rocket. You know, mm-hmm. Charlie married my wife, Nancy, and I. When Charlie committed suicide, I went in a downswing, and I was doing this movie at the same time. And I've gotten help, and I'm fine. I'm getting back to who I am, what I am, and my family, and it's great.
Now, you're on medication now.
Yes, sir.
And how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm 56. I know
56.
I don't look
56. You do
what
not.
What kind of medication
right.
you're on?
Thank you.
What are you on?
By the way, this is the disembodied voice of Danny.
I can't tell you what I'm on. Because my doctor has told me not to, because people will just go out and buy it.
Right.
You know, but I'm on a cocktail of two different things,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been fantastic. I was a jogger. I used to run a lot, and mm-hmm. I have arthritis in my hip and my back. So a lot of the enzymes that my body was producing as a young man, they mm-hmm. don't produce. So these are inhibitors, you know.
Serotonin reuptake inhibitors?
There you go, bro.
And, sat next to Drew for 10 years.
And I have a group called No Kidding Me Too, which mm-hmm. is a destigmatizing organization, de-isolation, to talk about it like you and I are doing it right now, because 3 in 5 Americans suffer from mental illness.
Well, by the way, the noise in the background is Danny Bonaducci is in Vegas for the Floyd Mayweather fight, and he's on Radio Row over there, by the way. So, Joe, this is an interesting topic. Fresh off the heels of this teenager who just went on
exactly.
a rampage.
Terrible story. Tragic.
I'm seeing a picture of him on the TV as we say this. Now, your belief, I assume, is if this guy was on his meds or had some meds, he wouldn't have gone on this rampage.
Well, as it comes in now, he was on meds. This is a kid that was outcast. Talk about the stigmatization was, you know, his family threw him out.
Right.
He was outcast. He's 19 years old. What I would like to see happen is that as a culture that we wouldn't stigmatize it. Big businesses spend about $70 billion a year in sick leave. People get sick, they take mm-hmm. sick leave, and then they get help. Nobody's doing beginning help. You know, I have a problem, talk about it openly, get the help that you need, and not be whispering about it.
Were you always this way? I mean, I know you said you used to be a jogger, and so you were able to create these enzymes.
No, my mother was undiagnosed bipolar. I thought her behavior was that of an Italian-American woman. I was totally ignorant. It's hereditary. It runs in my family.
What did your mom do? What for a living she, when she was raising you.
My mom was a housewife, a seamstress, a bookie. You know, her addictions were cigarettes and gambling and food. You know, 70% of America's obese. You know, 70% of American children. There was just a report that these kids are going to die younger for the first time in 100 years. And so addictions are whatever.
I kind of like that, though.
That they're going to die younger?
Yeah, whenever they talk about kids being our future and the next generation living to 120, I get a little jealous.
Listen, I just like the idea of, you know, taking myself out early. I was close to doing it.
It's great meds you're on.
Yeah.
They got to get on
meds,
those.
Did you really seriously consider
I was, because I couldn't feel anything. If anybody knows what depression is like, I wasn't bipolar. I was depressed. And so it was like nothing. I was blaming myself. I had everything I ever wanted. I was a very ambitious kid, and I came from nothing, and I got something, and I was going, well, you got everything you wanted. I couldn't enjoy the embrace of my daughters, you know, my wife. I couldn't get out of the house. It's such a debilitating disease.
But it comes in grades, does it not?
Hey, Danny.
As long as we're here. How you doing, Pants? It's been a long time.
Yeah, nice to see you. Yeah,
nice
it comes in grades.
Again.
And it's like, for me, it took 12 years, and I couldn't go out. I'm a very social guy.
And your mom... The bookie seamstress. My mom was a bookie seamstress, by the way.
No kidding.
Yes, I'm kidding. She
you
didn't
are
do
kidding.
Anything.
No, don't
but
do
how,
this to
how
me.
Do you get to be a bookie seamstress?
Well, you know, because...
You bet on whether you can get the hem straight.
Hey, Danny, I read your book, by the way, and there's so many similarities in our life. I also believe that addictions are a result of bipolar disorder or depression.
Which,
we
of
do
course,
these
if you
things.
Read my
we
book, take, you know I have.
Yes, yes. And we take things... We do things. I used to watch you jog when I was shooting. We used to run into each other in Chicago.
All the time.
You know,
yeah.
All of the things that we trade our addictions for when we get sober.
Mm-hmm.
We trade them for this, for jogging, health, or sex, or food, or, you know.
I was just
cigarettes
looking.
Is hard. Cigarettes.
Oh,
my mother
go,
was
go
four packs
AA
a day. Me. It killed my mother.
Yeah.
Cigarette smoking killed my entire family.
Good times.
Do you smoke?
No, I quit.
No, you quit.
And I also stopped drinking 3 years ago, and that's when everything really started loading up, because I had all these feelings that were drowning in my sorrows for years. I didn't know. And it was like all of these feelings. It's like when I was a drunk, I was happy part of the day.
Now, were you a drunk?
No, I was a functional... I was what they call a periodic drinker.
Mm-hmm.
I was highly functional drinker.
You could
most
get
people
it.
Don't know, and I'll bet Pants understands this, because I was a raging alcoholic, mm-hmm. and I guess always will be. But there's a time between, say, drink 3 and drink 30 where mm-hmm. I've had the right amount of alcohol mm-hmm. that life seems normal.
That's
funny
right.
things are funny. Sad things are sad. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, you go too far and you're just drunk. But that's what you do. You medicate yourself with alcohol, which, if it done it at just the right amount, works for a very long time.
Yeah.
Then you give
Tennessee
it up.
Williams talks about this, what you're talking about, Danny, in Sweet Bird of Youth, when he talks
I
about the click.
One.
There's a click in his brain that he
right.
goes after, and you know, and you're chasing that, and it's like, and there goes whatever the drugs, the crystal methamphetamines, which are such a lovely drug in the beginning. You know,
yeah,
it's so practical,
good at the
and then
beginning.
It turns, then it turns on you.
My
well,
first 10 Vicodin were delightful.
Joey, let's talk about the amateurs.
Just because I saw your eyes light up.
The Amateurs, new movie, which is in theaters now. It's got you. It's got Jeff Bridges and Ted Danson and many others. Isaiah Washington, Brad Garrett. The list goes on and on. What? Oh, we have a clip. Oh, we do have a clip. Well, let's play that clip.
That means we're going to need a script?
Yep, that's right.
I'm the guy for that.
Well, we'll talk about that some.
And we're going to need a director.
That's right, yeah. Right.
I'm the guy for that.
We'll talk about that some. First, let me
Andy,
just...
a script for a movie.
We'll talk about that
there's
later.
There's a name for people like me. They're called writer-directors. We do two things. There's a lot of people in Hollywood like me that are multi-gifted. Come Christmas morning, a kid has two gifts under a tree. You can't ask him to open just one.
Sophie's Choice.
What's that, kid?
Sophie's Choice.
Yeah, if you like, sure, kid. Kid could be named Sophie.
He is a porn director, by the way.
Yeah, well, this is a small town that decide to make a porn. They've never made porns before, but they think it's a quick, you know, just a great way to make a lot of money, because you can't make a bad porn, and everything that goes wrong can go wrong, will go wrong, does go wrong. There's a great scene, my favorite, in the movie with Isaiah Washington, where it's the three black guys ravaging the porn, the Frosty Freeze girl, this 22 beauty. Mm-hmm. And as we're about to shoot the scene, they disrobe and we discover that these three black guys have very small penises. And we can't make the scene because we just assumed that everybody has big penises. And then Isaiah, as character, he's like, said, this is a black thing. And Jeff is getting a big argument. It's no, it's an improper porno penis. And it's a riot. The movie is a riot. Mike Traeger wrote a very original, incredibly hysterical. It offends everybody.
Does it take place in the present, or is it a period thing?
It takes place in the present, and it's everybody in this town, little old ladies, they all chip in $2,000 to make this movie, and it just, everything goes wrong, and it's, you know, hysterical.
I have a theory about
a great
idea. About the black penis I'd like to share with Joey Pants and the rest of the community.
I have one.
Well, you have a black penis or a theory?
I have a black penis.
My name is Tyrone Washington.
Everyone does a thing where, you know, the stereotype, and some of that's true, but here's my feeling. Most Americans have not seen a lot of black penises. Most of the black penises we see are via the porno movies. Uh-huh. And they ain't going to give a brother a job if he ain't doing pretty good in the pants, Joey.
That's right, Joey Pants.
You know what I'm saying. So it is a skewed sort of version we have of it, because the only penis I see is big black penis, because there's no such thing as porno guy with small black penis. They won't let him. He's not going to make the cut. It's a form of discrimination, just like the scene in the movie.
Right.
Yes? Yes. What do you think of that?
Do you see small white penises in porn? I haven't seen that.
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yes. Yes.
Well, there you go.
I watch porno with a small penis.
Hey, Danny, you know, speaking of, what is a small penis?
Have you seen Perez Hilton?
Who?
The average, Danny,
what's
an average was on
penis
Perez
size?
Hilton.
What would be average?
I'll tell you what it is.
I am never going to get tired of this.
It's about 5 3/4, somewhere in that department. That is
right. Okay. Wait. I think I can.
We got beeped out a few. Joey.
I did?
Joey Pants. This is not HBO.
When the lights flash.
What did I say wrong? What did I say wrong?
I don't know.
Where to begin?
Let me just reboot
that
here
was
for
cool.
a second.
I thought there was a fire.
There was. In your pants.
Yes. We have a... Let me explain how it works. There's a light above us, and every time the dump button goes off, the bell, the light flashes, and it was essentially a strobe light. It was like we're in Studio 54 in 1979 here. Yeah. Joey, I don't know what happened with the FCC, but somehow the things we used to be able to say 5 years ago, we can't say anymore. So, A, we don't blame Joey.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and do your best to explain what Joey just said?
One of the side effects of his medication for depression is that while he has no trouble getting engorged.
Yeah, but it's not that
it takes a very long time to complete, so that your wife now has had to really put in a hard day's work. And as you said, it's causing some trouble to her jaw or elbow?
Her elbow!
Yes. Brett Favre's right arm feels better than hers. That's basically what Joey
Pants
is saying.
She's the greatest.
What a delight. Hopefully she's driving your daughter to school at this point, and they're all listening.
Yeah, probably. Hey, you know... But the thing is, you know, in terms of the stigma, because this medicine and my talking about my disorder, mm-hmm. which is a part of my life, has really, you know, become a stigma. When my family get mad at me, they'll say things like, "Did you take your meds today?" or "Shut up and go take a pill."
I hate that.
Right? Does that happen to you, Danny?
Oh my God, that and anybody can always look on a recovering drug addict, and if you do anything different from any other day and you're in a fight and you think you're doing okay, my wife used to do this all the time. Are you back on drugs? They can always throw that one in. Either you didn't take your drugs, and it's your fault, or you're back on drugs, and it's your fault. I think that is so unfair.
Joey's wife would like to get him off of the drugs, so she
I actually get rid of the TMJ. My therapist last week, I went home, and I said, I'm thinking about stopping, and the kids, and it was like, it was an intervention. Don't do this, Daddy. And you know, the thing that I'd like to be able to, and I invite everybody to join me with no kidding me too, is that the brain should have equal rights as the liver or the kidney or the heart. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I do a movie and I have to go and get my physical for the movie, you know, and they'll ask you, what do you smoke? No. Do you drink? No. Do you have heart disease in your
for
family?
For insurance.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right. And so when I tell them I take Lipitor, and that I'm on these antidepressants, I have to sign a waiver that says if I have a nervous breakdown, I am financially liable for what cause in the cause of delay.
Right.
But if I have a heart attack, that's okay.
Right.
Covered.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Yes.
That's cool. It's cool
continues
to have a heart attack.
There should be parity. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like your insurance covers.
Parity, brain parity to the liver, to the kidney, to the gallstone.
I don't know why, but it just makes me think we test for marijuana, but we don't test for alcohol. And I'd much rather have a guy who smoked a little spleef on the weekend than an alcoholic working for my company. So we do test or punish for certain things that aren't as egregious as other things.
Alcohol is legal. Abusing alcohol is legal.
Right.
And, you know, that's a whole other story about it. Wouldn't it be great to deregulate these drugs and allow
It's a topic for a different day. Hopefully our kids will live in a society, albeit they'll be morbidly obese, but they'll live in a society that will not judge them for the meds they take or the donuts they eat. Joey Pants, great to see you. The Amateurs. The name of the movie sounds awesome. It is in theaters now, and really, it's got a bunch of big stars in it, including Joey. Joey, good times. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you. There'll be a screening tonight at the opening, and a Q&A with Ted Danson and myself. Jeff Bridges is in Dallas doing the same thing. So thanks for having me. God bless you all, and happy holidays.
Our pleasure. And when we come back, Week in Rage, we take all the topics from this week that piss me off, and then I rant on them. You voted. We have the top five. We'll do that next.
Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show.
97.1 KLSX Free FM.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for This Week in Rage. We're going to count down the top five things that pissed Adam off this week, voted on by you at AdamCarolla.com. You think you're mad? Just wait for the Ace Man, Adam Carolla.
Well, the topics, reggaeton music, the sitcom from the 60s, Family Affair, smokers backing down on anti-smoking laws, unlike the NRA, decorating a rubber plant for Christmas. Now, that's a very personal story, but I'll see if I can get into it. You know, I don't like to talk about my family on the air, but I'll make an exception. And people who say the border wall won't work. Now, we'll go from fifth to first. Fifth being the reggaeton, 12% of the vote. First, border wall, 33. Just nipping out us decorating a rubber tree plant for Christmas. I guess it was better than the... Okay, let's not get me started. Bonaducci is in Vegas. He's on Radio Row over there. Have you seen anyone other than Big Boy yet?
Danny.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wait, Danny, he's asleep. Wait a second.
Ass kicker. Can you not hear me?
Oh, no, now we can. Thought I heard you breathing. Danny.
Yes.
Can you
answer this whole time?
Okay. Who's over there beside you? Have you found any celebrities over there yet?
Well, I can see Burt Sugar, who or is it Sugarman?
I think it's Sugarman.
Sugarman.
Boxing analyst who smokes a cigar.
I don't know if he actually smokes it or holds it.
Worse to hold it. You know what I mean? Your mouth just becomes literally an ashtray at that point.
He's walking around. He's got his trademark hat. He's got his cigarette or his cigar in his hand. But that is the only actual recognizable face in here.
All right. So still no celebrities going down Radio Row there.
No. And I, you know what? I think you're going to see them. If you see them, you're going to see them and hear them on the afternoon shows.
Yeah, because everyone went to Vegas. They crapped out literally about 2 a.m. and then decided to hit a strip joint.
Right, that would be my guess.
Yeah, there's nobody who's going to pop up at 7:45 to see what Big Boy and the Dooch Man have in store.
Now, see, I would pop up at my hour to see what I was doing. I would think I had done something fascinating. It just turns out I didn't.
To be fair to you, you wouldn't have popped down yet.
No.
You'd still be up at 7:45.
If I was in Vegas being the normal Dan that I would normally be a few years back, yeah, I'd be crawling in here right now, doing everybody's show and asking over and over, what show is this?
But you wouldn't serve you up any softballs. You would ask you the tough questions, and that's what I like about you.
I would indeed. I'd always hit me with the hardballs.
not going to touch that. We're going to do This Week in Rage. Brian?
This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
Well, I never thought you could get more annoying than ranchero music. I said, this is it. This is the ultimate champion. This is the Mike Tyson of annoying. And I thought that it was brought over here from south of the border just to drive Whitey to Canada. As a matter of fact, I still think it is, but I realize they have a new high-potency version of ranchero music, and it's like these movies they used to make in the 80s. Remember these drug movies in the 80s where there was a new brand of drug that the Colombians were bringing in? It's called ice, and it's 10 times more addictive than heroin and 10 times worse than speed, and it'd always be purple, and it'd be in a lab, and there'd be hot chicks cooking it up, except for they were sort of Eurasian, and they say, when this hits the street, it's going to take over the country. Well, that's what happened. That's what reggaeton is. Do we have a taste of, let's listen to this garbage. Listen, Sonic Casio drums, everybody. Oh, when you hear this blaring from the pickup truck with the Brahma Bull decal on the door, you know it's time to put a fork in it and head to Canada. That's it. Or go to Lake Plentywood, Montana, and just start stockpiling munitions and canned garbanzo beans and fighting the good war, because it's officially on. This music is made by retards for retards. You can't be smart and enjoy this music. It makes you dumber as you listen to it. Please, let's stop being so respectful of all other cultures and tell everyone, hey, Pedro, when you get the crank fixed on the window, how about you crank it up so we don't have to hear this crap coming from the Ford F-150? I am going to kill myself on the road, and it's not because someone cuts me off. It's because I pull up at a stoplight next to the reggaeton and the ranchero, and I get bookended by those two, and I blow my own brains out. I kill myself with the cigarette lighter by putting my tongue into it and electrocuting myself. The 60s sitcom. Sit, maybe. Calm? I don't think so. There were a lot of guys sitting around an apartment in New York. The comedy part, you tell me what's funny about these kids. Six-year-old twins, Buffy and Jody, their parents were killed in a fiery car wreck, and now they have to go live with a alcohol-addicted old pedophile civil engineer who later on killed himself. That's how miserable Brian Keith was. He killed himself after his daughter killed himself 25 years after the sitcom asterisk known as Family Affair was on. Now, I was thinking last night before I went to bed, Mr. French, his English butler, who ironically had a last name of French, why did he need a butler before he had the kids? This is one dude who just lived in a bachelor pad in Manhattan. He was a civil engineer, and he had these kids dropped off with them, complete with Sissy, the older sister, and Mrs. Beasley, who I'd like to behead and flush down a toilet or put into Barbie's dream Corvette, cut the brake lines. Anyway, he has Mr. French. Now, it's hard to tell who hates kids more. Uncle Bill or Mr. French. And every episode was this episode. Little Johnny Whitaker, all 3 foot one of him, would look up those big blue eyes and he'd say, Mr. Bill, Uncle Bill, are you going to go to my Weebelo Jamboree this weekend? And Brian Keith would put his hand on his alcohol-soaked face and he would look down. And through, and the light would stream through his comb over. And he'd just go, I got some clients. French! And then he'd yell for the pedophile butler and come in with the bowler and start screaming at the kids. I was 9 and wanted to kill myself. I thought there's nothing funny about this. How could it last 18 years? But it did. Family affair, everyone. Well, the good news is everyone is dead. Everyone on that show is officially gone. Smokers backing down. Now, I don't think smoking is good or healthy, and I don't want to defend smokers, but you smokers should have stood your ground. They told you to move to one part of the airplane, and you got up and moved, and then they told you to move to one part of the restaurant, and you got up and moved, and then they told you you can't come on the plane, and you stayed off the plane, and then they told you to go to the bar, and you went to the bar, and then they told you you can't smoke at the bar, you can only smoke in front of the bar outside. So you went outside, and then they said, that's too close. This is outside, but it's not outside. Now get further outside. So you went down the street, and they said, no, you can't do that. Go to the park. So you went to the park, and then they tell you to go to the beach, and now you can't smoke on the beach. A giant ashtray filled with retarded surfers and you can't smoke there. Really? A giant ashtray filled with guys with a 9th grade education whose mind has been polluted by the briny polluted salt water and the PABA they've been rubbing on their nose for 20 years and you can't smoke in front of these heshers. Eventually, there's just going to have to be a smoking planet. That's where my money's going into. And shuttles that just shuttle people back and forth. Ironically, no smoking in the shuttle. But once you get to planet nicotine, you get to go sick in a judgment-free environment. Danny!
Yeah?
There's an opening. I'm going to need you to work as a greeter on planet nicotine.
I was actually thinking that, like Branson. As you'd get off the shuttle, I would say, hi, I'm Danny Bonaducci. Welcome to planet nicotine.
Yes, and offer someone a smoke. All right, next. And
by the way, everyone who leaves planet nicotine will sound just like this.
That's right. Dakota Fanning will show up, and a day later will sound like Bonaducci.
Number two.
Wow, this was a tough call. What was worse, decorating a tree branch, not a Christmas tree, but a tree branch at my house that was leaned up against the wall, or the Christmas tree rubber plant that my grandmother had? Now, my grandparents had a potted rubber tree. It's about 4 foot tall. It could never be mistaken for a spruce or a ponderosa or any other kind of pine tree. It looked like an exotic rubber tree, and we would decorate that rubber tree every year, and I thought it was mildly lame, but at least there was a novelty aspect to it when I was young. As I look back on it now, and I've added the two and two together, knowing the super ultra cheapness of my family, I realize there was no Christmas tree because someone didn't want to go down to the Alpha Beta and plop down $12. We decorated an effing rubber tree. That is child abuse. And look, all survivors of incest, cry me a river.
Wow.
Cry me an effing river. This is nothing. You don't know pain. You don't know heartache. You don't know what it's like to walk around feeling like half a person because you were forced to decorate a rubber tree. And I'm going to take it a step further. All those that have been a prisoner of war.
Yeah.
All those that have had limbs removed. All those who've lost loved ones to cancer. You don't know pain until wow. You've decorated a rubber tree with foil at Grandma Carolla's house. Now...
Number one.
Well, people who say a border wall won't work. Look, you can argue over whether we should build a border wall or not and all the politics surrounding that. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm going to argue with the retards that say a wall never stopped anyone from coming into anywhere or getting out of anywhere and all the stooges that nodded their head from a studio that has a wall around it. Let me ask you guys this. You folks that said a wall or a fence never stopped anyone from doing anything. You know the school your kids go to? I would imagine there's a chain link fence that goes around that school. And the reason there's a chain link fence around that school is so your precious little bundle of joy doesn't run out after a utility ball and get run over by drunken Bonaducci on his hog on his way to another personal appearance. Or so the local pedophile can't just drift onto campus, get a little handy in the girls' room, and then drift back off campus. And if I said, hey, I got a great idea, let's remove the fence, you would be the first ones out to picket my house with the picket fence around it. So, don't tell me a fence doesn't stop it. Tell me you don't like the politics. Tell me you're a fan of the brown man. Tell me anything you want. Just quit repeating that retarded, worn-out refrain of a fence never stopped anyone from getting anywhere, you retards. Thank you. I'm out of vitriol.
Until next time.
Hold on a second.
This week.
Oh, what an ass.
In rage.
What about prisons? Are they on the honor system over there?
You said you were out of vitriol.
Okay.
Dude, I'm out of vitriol for any tour. They sell that around here.
We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, we'll talk to you. 866-901-ADAM. I have a question to pose to the folks. I was listening to Mitt Romney, and he was delivering his speech, and he's Mormon, I believe.
Yep.
And I'm an atheist, but it's weird. I don't care. I don't mind a Mormon. I like a guy who's into his religion. I like that guy better than the guy who says he's into his religion and really is no religion. Like,
right.
I don't really think the Clintons are religious people. I think they know how the game is played. If you just get up there and go, eh, I'm somewhere between agnostic and atheist, you're not going to get voted into anything. So you have to sort of walk the walk and talk the talk. But you're really, in your heart of hearts, I almost think the Clintons are too smart in a certain sense to be into that. Yes.
The Mormons, though. The ones that are real Mormons are I've never met a Mormon that was a practicing Mormon that wasn't a truly decent, hardworking human being.
I am with you, and if I had an accountant and you said, well, what do you want this guy to be? Well, first you go Jew, of course. But secondly, you go, do you want the guy to be an atheist or into Santeria or Muslim or Mormon? I'll go Mormon. I'll just give me the honest religion. I'll take that guy. So Mitt had to address being Mormon because we don't think and he doesn't think he has a chance of getting voted in with that. But then I thought, well, what are the chances we vote a Mormon guy in? And then I thought, well, what are the chances we vote a woman in? And then I thought, what are the chances we vote a brother in? Because Barack's going to be on the ticket, hopefully. So the point is this, or even nominate these people. The bigger point, then, I thought, was what about an atheist? What if a guy said he was an atheist?
That may be the most unelectable of all.
So here's my question to you people. Who's coming first, the brother, the chick, or the atheist? Because I'm curious. I mean,
religion is the brother?
We constantly, well, let's just say he is the same BS religion that all politics, they have to subscribe to. There's some box where you just have to check it and go,
and the Mormon is a good Mormon.
And the Mormon is... Mitt. As far as we know, he's a good Mormon, and the woman is Hillary Clinton. Who's going in first? And the atheist, well, that can just be a smart guy with no skeletons in his closet, but he ain't thumping any Bibles. 866-901-ADAM. We'll do that next.
There's a place up ahead, and I'm going.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
Hi, it's Sarah Silverman, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show, 866-901-ADAM. God, I hate my voice.
Good times. All right, the topic, when we left off, I was watching Mitt Romney, who I like. Maybe I'm just being naive. I sort of like the guy. Seems.
You're not concerned about the effects of the dye on his brain because that concerns you with other guys.
He left a little gray around the chops, and I like that. It's the guys who go all black that freak me out.
Fair enough.
And he's not quite old enough yet. Bonaducci is in Vegas on Radio Row. So the topic and the question I put out there is we have some interesting choices this year. You know, there's a guy who's black and there's a woman who's a woman and there's another guy who has a religion. In this case, he has a specific religion, but any religion other than the ones we're used to. For me, I feel like an atheist would have a harder time than any of these, but I don't know. And then what about a woman versus a person of color? How does that work out? Who gets the vote? How progressive are we really? Now, as I've said many times, I don't think a guy like Bill Clinton is any more religious than I am. I really don't. As a matter of fact, I know he's not, or he wouldn't have done what he did. If he really believes it, he thinks he has a relationship with Jesus Christ, he wouldn't have a relationship with the intern.
Wait. If I may just ask a question. Do you really think there's no gray area between a professed atheist, which I have nothing against or for, I think it's a totally reasonable thing to be, mm-hmm. and a guy who professes to be a Christian and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
you don't think that there is a possibility that he has some belief, but it isn't strong enough to hold back his human urges, his weaknesses of the flesh. There's no gray area between atheist and cheater.
Here's my super unpopular, possibly condescending belief. I believe when you're...
Everything you say?
Yes. I believe when you're dumb, you truly believe. But when you're smart and you have a big brain like Bill Clinton does, there always has to be that part that questions. There has to be the part that questions. And that part that questions is bigger than anyone wants to admit. And they try to keep it suppressed, and they try to keep it buried, and they try to keep it down, and they go to the church and they bombard themselves. But there's that part that always asks and really is the skeptic and doesn't believe. And it's that part of their brain that doesn't believe that lets them engage in the kind of behavior that if there was a God, they'd be damned to hell. So I think guys like Clinton have too much intellect to actually believe. If I hooked him up to a lie detector and I said, Bill Clinton, is there, when you die, are you going to a place called heaven? And is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If I hooked him up to a lie detector, he would not pass that.
I agree.
I think you might be right there.
Now, there are other folks who definitely would. I mean,
would probably pass.
Half the guys in the NFL would definitely pass. Yes. All right. So, and W would pass. So,
I think he would.
Maybe he's not such a bad guy. Maybe he's just stupid. Let's play the clip first from CNN this morning.
I believe in my Mormon faith, and I endeavor to live by it. Some believe that such a confession of my faith will sink my candidacy. If they're right, so be it.
All right, let's see what Chelsea has to say. Chelsea?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I think your show was great, first of all. You guys are fun to listen to every morning.
Thank you. Brian Dove.
I'd like to contest the fact that we got a brother. I mean, most of the... Well, I won't speak for most of the blacks, but it seems from what I hear, they're not really going toward him, and he's Muslim. He downplays that, and you don't really hear about it as much, but he is Muslim.
Well, now, I don't know if that's true. I heard some rumors, but I don't think that's a fact.
Oh. Well,
his middle name is Hussein, isn't it?
I've heard that there's some stuff going on with that, and that's not the truth. And then with the internet, I don't know what to believe anymore. So hopefully we can research that. But Chelsea, you think a woman would get in before a man of color or before an atheist?
Yes.
Or a Mormon, for that matter.
Yes, but the Mormon would come second.
Here's why I would cast a vote for the woman. A lot of countries have had women in charge as prime ministers and whatnot for a long time.
And did well.
And have done well, and if they could get over it, we can get over it. But here's a question, as I think. I don't know what countries have had a person where their skin color was different than the majority of the people that they reigned over. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm not so sure if that's going to work as soon as we'd like it to. For me, just so you guys know my personal feelings, I am so tired of everyone beating up Bush, not because I like Bush, just because he's the president of the country I live in, and I can't stand it.
Don't mess with Texas.
Yeah, it's like, look, let me put it to you this way, all you folks that think I'm a fan of Bush. Let's go back to sports for a second. He is the coach of my team. Every single press conference and every single newspaper clipping I have is somebody saying how stupid the coach is that on my team I'm on. Now, I think he's stupid too, but I'm getting depressed. Right. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And I would like either Barack or Hillary in there just to slow it down for a second, just to get a breath of air, and then let the criticism begin. Although I do feel like they would slow up just a little, because the white liberal press would not want to go after Barack that hard because it might appear to have elements of race to it.
Right, they'd be afraid.
For 10 minutes, and then I think they'd just go after him like anything else. T?
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about Kennedy, and there was a time when people doubted that a Catholic could ever be elected.
Right.
Now that's it doesn't seem like a big deal.
He was the first Catholic, but you know, it's interesting that very few people know Nixon was a Quaker.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
By the way, the Associated Press did a poll, and they surveyed Americans and asked whether they would have a problem supporting a Mormon presidential candidate. About half said they would have a problem, and about one-fifth said it would make them very uncomfortable.
Really?
Surprising.
It's weird that one-fifth of Americans even know what Mormonism is.
I don't think they do.
If they'd met Mormons, they would love them. They're delightful.
They are delightful, but their religion is retarded.
Yeah, but if
every religion's retarded if you look into it.
Yes, if you're an atheist, everything sounds like just a joke. Bruce?
Hey, how's it going?
What? Who do you cast your vote for?
Well, I actually Kucinich, but Adam, I've just been telling people, I'm a history teacher, actually. I've been telling people the same thing about, you know, how government officials use religion to control the population, and half of them don't even believe it, you know.
Well, their constituency is made up of people who don't believe it.
Right. And you don't believe in fairy tales.
Here's what freaks everybody out. When you have some doubt in your mind, like here's what you don't need. Here's what you don't want. Here's what will freak your ass out. You are lost somewhere in the woods, and there's a guy who's leading you. And he says, this way to daylight, this way to food, this way to shelter, this way to safety. And you think, okay. And you've been walking for a while, and you're starting to get tired, and you're starting to think, maybe it isn't this direction. What you don't want is the guy to turn around and go, you know what? I don't know where I'm going either. If he does that, you will freak out. What he needs to do is turn around every 10 miles or so and go, oh, no. No, I definitely know where I'm going. Follow me. And you think, I don't really believe him, but it's sure better than rotting out here in the forest. So you follow him. What you don't know is he doesn't know either. And you're walking in a huge circle, but nobody wants to admit it because everyone is scared S-less. Wow.
Bruce?
Hey, where's that funky cowbell sound effect we could play? I put Bruce on hold.
I gotta have more cowbell.
I was curious about Bruce's support for Kucinich. I mean, he seems to believe all the right things, but what is it about him that seems like unelectable?
Is he the one with the young hot wife?
It's the media. Yeah, he's the one with the hot wife. It's the media covers that paints him unelectable because he's actually a populist. He doesn't go along with this corporate media elitist thing that they want. They want a Barack, a Hillary, a Romney, but. Yeah. He's a true populist. He cares about the people, and that's not what the media wants. And
Nader was in the last election, Ralph Nader?
Yeah.
Now, that was would you consider that, even though you believed in your heart this was the best guy for the job, but knowing he can't possibly win, would you vote for the second best guy and consider voting for Nader a wasted vote? Mm-hmm. Or would you vote for a guy that you knew wasn't going to be your president?
I did vote for Gore, even though I thought Nader was the best candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it was a step towards where we need to be as a society.
Hey,
right?
Bruce?
Yes.
Thank you for your input.
And being smart.
Yes, and continuing to twist the mind of the nation's youth.
Actually, a graduate student writing a paper about how religious officials use religion to subvert our democratic principles in our society.
Interesting.
Those are the things that are being repetitive.
Good luck getting laid this weekend. Hey, let me say this. Here's what I feel like. As I examine all the candidates on both sides, I think, wow, an interesting crop of people this year, you know, with some interesting choices. Normally, I hate everyone and sort of tolerate one guy, but this year, there's a bunch of people in there where I go, yeah, okay. And then I hear what they have to say about this topic or that topic, and I go, all right, I'm listening. It's not such a bad crop, but I know ultimately I'll be disappointed. This is like when the guy goes up to the mic stand, he's going to sing some karaoke, and he flips open the book, and you think, hey, a lot of interesting possibilities, a lot of interesting directions, a lot of interesting song selections, and then 2 minutes later, he's chosen Moni Moni, or this one. And you think, good Christ, all those good songs, and this is what we ended up with. Did you feel like that's going to happen this year? Or maybe it just happens every year. Like, there's all these interesting dynamic choices, and then
what, Bush. Do you have a do-all, end-all on what is going to make you vote for a particular candidate? Like, they have a stance on this and how to block off the border and how to make electric cars and all sorts of things that are important to you. But is there one at the end of the day that if they will or will not do, you will or will not cast your vote for them?
I'm going to talk about immigration and alternative fuel sources, but I'll do it through the majesty of song. Brian?
No. <Alrighty.
laughs> No. How dare you? Now, this is what I would love to do. And this guy would get my vote, but I don't know that this guy exists. I would love somebody to step up there on the podium and go, look, I'm not religious. I'm not a school teacher. I'm not a businessman. I'm not anything. I study human beings. This is a country filled with human beings. And here's my job. My job is to set policies to try to get this 300 million human beings to do what we want them to do. Now, here's what we would like these human beings to do. We'd like them not to kill each other. We'd like them not to rape each other. We'd like them not to fake injuries and collect off the taxes from the other human beings. And we'd like them to stay in school. And we'd like them not to have kids out of wedlock. And we'd like them to not be pregnant at 14. There's a whole bunch of things I want these human beings to do. And we hire other human beings. They're called the police or airport security or counselors or teachers. There's a whole bunch of things that I want them to do to try to get the human beings they're in charge of to do what I would like them to do. Now, I'm going to approach every single problem from that position and that posture. That's all.
And that's the guy that gets your vote?
The guy who gets my vote who goes, I don't care what the stigma is. It's 1988. AIDS is in the gay community. I don't want it to make its way over to the hetero community. IV drug users are pushing it over to the hetero community. I'm giving out clean needles. I don't care if people call me a junkie or an enabler. I have talk to my people. They're made up of scholars and psychologists and people are into sociology. We've studied groups of people. We know how to affect them positively, and that's what we're going to do. Now, sometimes that'll mean building more prisons, but oftentimes it'll be building more playgrounds.
Okay. Now, here's where the only thing you missed for me, because you have described a wonderful candidate, and I agree with you that he may or may not, or she may or may not exist.
Come on.
For me, the do-all, end-all is, there's not just 300 million people. There's billions of people. And I want to know if the other billions start to F with this 300 million, we'll kill more of them than they do of us.
Well,
at the end of the day, it comes down to protecting America. And will you carpet bomb a country that Fs with us?
All the rules will apply to the rest of the country. We will have to factor in their semi-retarded culture. And then we will decide, is carpet bombing or diplomacy a better way to get them to quit killing us? And once we decide, that will commence.
That will commence. So you in essence, agree with me. If carpet bombing comes out to be the logical answer, you want to elect somebody that goes, okay, bomb those guys.
The logical answer will be the logical answer.
Right. That's the logical answer may be appeasement, then carpet bomb.
Right. or carpet bomb and then an apology. All I'm saying is there are times, such as in World War II, when the carpet bombing...
We tried appeasement then.
Did not work. There'll be other times when appeasement would work. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. T.
Yes.
The news, what's coming up in it?
An inmate escapes using nothing but a clogged toilet and a Camaro.
Now, T, I'm often accused on our website of bullying you and taking
you
your... Yes, that you have your San Francisco-based left-wing politics, and I just run roughshod right over you.
I don't feel bullied.
You just stifle yourself because I won't welcome any. Shut up! I'm not done
I
telling you how I don't bully you.
I love animals and people, and I'm.
I'm just saying, if there's ever anything you disagree with, you feel free to do it, and I will shout your ass down.
That's why I keep silent.
Why the hell would you read our website?
I'm scared.
You're out of your mind.
No, I feel like I speak my mind in short spurts that I can't get too badly hurt.
All right, well, you'll have plenty of chance next when we do the news.
Hitler was a baby.
We are going in search of culture.
Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser.
And what better place to do it than right here in Los Angeles? We got it all right here.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
Researchers say 'tis the season for more serious heart attacks. Ho, ho, ho.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. The Dooch Man is in Vegas. He's there for the Mayweather-Hatton fight. I'll be there for the Mayweather-Hatton fight, except for the Dooch Man is leaving this afternoon.
I got to tell you, and the MGM Grand is great, and everybody's been super kind to me. But when we get back, we are going to have to, if you care to bother, think of the logic of why I'm here.
I do not know. And the beauty of Danny is Danny doesn't know either.
He just goes where they tell him.
There's no reason for me to be here. There's no one here.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the door, there's 5,000 English people because they're letting them in for the weigh-in, which doesn't start till 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 4 people, maybe 10 now, in a room that holds several hundred, and I'm sitting here not discussing the fight with people who don't fight, with people who don't do radio.
Yeah.
I have no idea why I'm here.
Either way, it'll be a ratings bonanza for
us. Bonanza! Because I really feel that I have contributed more than my fair share today.
Yeah.
All right. T.
Yes?
What you got going in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
Frightened and frazzled homeowners seeking mortgage relief from a new Bush administration hotline Thursday had to contend with a bit of misdirection from the president himself. He announced his plan to ease the mortgage crisis for consumers, and President Bush accidentally gave out the wrong number for his new Hope Now hotline set up by his administration. So if you called the Hope Now hotline, your hopes would be dashed.
Yeah.
Because you would be connected to the Freedom Christian Academy, a Texas-based group that provides Christian education homeschooling materials.
Oh, tell you, not as bad as what I dial. I dial the homo hotline.
Oh, no. You wanted help with your mortgage?
Yeah. Yeah, it was uncomfortable. Thankfully, the guy knew Bill, so we had, you know.
You could bond over that.
Yeah.
I think the Christian
hotline. Times are tough.
I think the Christian hotline is worse. I'll call both.
Either way, you're drunk both times, right?
Either way, you're not getting help on your mortgage.
Nice job, George. Really, you can't just load that teleprompter up or that piece of plexiglass he puts in front of him to read off of.
The press office quickly put out a correction moments after the president's remarks. So now, if you need hope, you can call an actual Hope Now hotline.
This does suck for the people who aren't being bailed out. I always could remember when I lived in an apartment and I didn't have car insurance or health insurance, and there'd be these announcements where they're going to bail out. You know what jacked me up royally? I remember when the 94 earthquake hit out here in Southern California, and FEMA was jumping in and cutting checks to everybody. Now, I just want to say quickly where I'm at And here's my Ann Coulter-like speech for a lot of people. Uh-oh. Here's my belief. When you own a house, it's your house. And you can get flood insurance, and you can get fire insurance, and you can get earthquake insurance, or not. That's your business. Right. And then when the earthquake hits, well, maybe there's damage to their house, and maybe you have insurance, or maybe there's no damage, or maybe there's a ton of damage, and you don't have anything to repair it. That's your business. That's your decision. You didn't want to pay the extra $29 a year for the earthquake insurance, so you chose not to. I don't ever want to get involved with that. The other thing I don't want to get involved with is paying to have your pool repaired while I'm in my apartment. I would talk to guys who lived up in the hills of Encino, who were producers and directors, who lived in million-dollar houses, who were hammering $70,000 checks from FEMA and laughing about having saunas and things put on. Really? That's how we distribute the money?
That's what I've heard about Katrina, that there's nothing but saunas being built in New Orleans.
That's right.
Now.
It's one big amusement park over there.
Sure, people just building carousels.
Look, FEMA.
I watched the Larry King Brad Pitt special, yeah. And that's all they talked about was all the saunas.
He's building John Cougar's houses over there. They're little and they're pink. Look, obviously, some people deserve the money. Not the producers who live in the hills of Encino who want to repair their pool or just pocket the money. They were just handing out $30,000 and $50,000 checks to people that were homeowners, and I'm watching the news from my crappy apartment. Sorry, T, go ahead.
How about a little song about Wayne Mitchell?
Hmm?
A 24-year-old. 24-year-old. He was in the Clark County Jail in Indiana. He was on a probation violation. On Wednesday, he was part of a work release crew clearing trash from the side of the road. Mm-hmm. The crew was taken to the Clark County Fraternal Order of Police Lodge for lunch.
Wow.
And that's when Wayne saw his opportunity to escape. He went to the bathroom, clogged up a toilet, and made it overflow. Then he came out and said that he needed some towels from the jail's van to clean up the mess. So some of the other inmates and the guards ran to the bathroom to try and fix the problem. Wayne headed out to the van to grab the towels, but instead, he just kept walking. He ditched his jail-issued jumpsuit, and he went to GNR Auto Sales next door. He said, "Hey, I'd like to test drive a 1995 Chevy Camaro." An employee gave him the keys. He got in the car. He sped off. And he was gone. Police caught up with him 11 hours later in Indianapolis. He showed up at his father's house, still driving the Camaro.
Okay, he's an idiot.
Yeah, you shouldn't go probably somewhere they're going to find you.
Do these people not have TV sets? They always do this. They bug tap the line of the girlfriend, you know. You go to the known associates. Yeah, families.
Well, there's a new favorite for me when it comes to hot messes. And that is Jessica Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about her earlier this week. She had an altercation with cops.
Mm-hmm.
She offered one of them oral sex to get out of being arrested. Then she started throwing around the N-word. Then she got to jail, and there was video footage of her throwing up.
What is going on with cops these days where you get offered oral, not only do you decline, but then you go home and tattle? You go back to the precinct and tattle?
I remember talking about this the other day. I said, this is why I couldn't be a cop. I'd say, absolutely, I'll trade you that.
Right, but even if I said, nah, I'm in my refractory period. Just rubbed one out in the locker room. Still, I would politely decline, and then I wouldn't go home and find the captain or go back to the precinct and find the captain and rat her out. Leave her alone.
Well, here's the news. Now, Jessica Sierra still in jail in Florida. And now it seems as though Jessica Sierra will have herself a sex tape.
Ooh.
Sources tell TMZ, here she is singing on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
Sources tell TMZ that the tape, which was shot sometime this year, could be released by the end of the year. And there's a photo of it. And I'm telling you, she is a hot mess. There's something about her that's hot. In the photo, she looks to be in a cheap motel room. She's in the bathtub. She's smoking.
She's smoking in the... Danny, by the way, I don't want you to get wood right there in Radio Row, but there are pictures of her smoking in a shower. Now, it's one thing to spark up a cigarette in a tub, but in a shower.
No, I'm not kidding you. I smoke in the shower. I turn on the shower, and I don't know what it is about me, because I'm not sensitive to almost anything else, but water temperature really bugs me.
Mm-hmm.
I told you this the other day. What I do is I just crank it up to full heat, and as it starts to get even a little warm, then I get in, and I consistently turn it down until I get it right. So I back into the shower, and I do all of this while smoking. And once I've got the water the right temperature, then I flick the cigarette into the toilet and take a shower.
Yeah. Well,
I smoke in the shower every morning.
She was not even backing in there. She was just blowing a butt in the shower.
I love this woman.
Danny, when you see her porn tape, be honest now. Do you think you're going to masturbate to her or her
cigarette.
Or the cigarette?
The fact that she's smoking in the shower, I don't even know that
she's
I will.
She's sitting in the bathtub.
I may not rub one out. I may actually just be busy writing her an actual love letter.
To prison.
He looks at nicotine fetish porn.
Now, Adam, you asked me an important question when she got arrested and the reports that after offering fellatio,
Two butts, one ashtray.
She started throwing, oh no!
Nice!
To go with two girls in a cup. Okay. You wanted to know if the arresting officer was in fact black. Because she was throwing around the N-word.
Yes.
I did some research on your behalf.
Thank you.
And I talked to my good friend Ben Mankiewicz at TMZ, and I asked him to look into it.
I talked to a fellow brother. If you want to know if a guy's black, you find... I'm assuming Ben Mankiewicz is a man of color.
I think that's obvious.
Yes.
I think that's
and
obvious.
And you asked him. And I'll tell you what. Let's take a break, and you tell us when we get back. You know, here's the whole thing with race and stuff. We talk about it all the time, but then we stop at a certain point. If you're going to drop the N-bomb in front of a cop 100 times, I want to know if that's a black cop or not, because that makes a big difference to me. And now it seems like, well, why wouldn't it be a black cop? Why else would you pull out the N-bomb? Well, when you're really drunk and you're blacked out and you're belligerent, pardon the pun, you'll drop N-bombs or whatever bombs no matter what or who's in front of you. You'll swap genders around with who's in front of you.
That's absolutely true. When was the last time... 10 years ago, can you imagine calling a man a bitch?
Right.
Now you get mad at a guy, you go, listen, bitch.
Absolutely.
You switch genders. So your point is valid.
I hope my kids can grow up and see a society where we call white people the N-bomb.
Me too. And men, bitches.
Yeah, where you take a white dude and call him a bitch N-bomb. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll find out whether that cop was an N-bomb... Oh, wait a minute. An African-American. Yes, next.
My mama used to always say, Christmas ain't Christmas till somebody cries.
Happy holidays from the Adam Carolla Show. Next Thursday night, it's a Christmas Corolla.
Hey, that's Christmas.
The Adam Carolla Show live at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana.
How about presents nobody wants?
The Deaf Frat Guy will break out some Nog Bongs.
Silent night, holy night.
Comedian Dana Gould will be joining us.
We're going to screw the tree together.
Dr. Gadget will be there to give away some cool new crap.
Things are all f***ed up at the North Pole. See, Mrs. Santa caught me f***ing her sister.
And since it's Christmas, we'll be giving away a really awesome prize to the best Jesus lookalike.
Screw the listener.
A Christmas Corolla, Thursday night at the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana with the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times. Come on out. Press the flesh. The Dooch Man's in Vegas. He's over at the MGM on Radio Row talking to nobody.
Nobody about nothing.
T.
Yeah.
Speaking of nothing, how about the rest of your news?
Jessica Sierra, the former American Idol contestant and current hot mess. There was some controversy now. She got a little drunk and disorderly. Some cops took her away. She offered one of them oral. And then she started calling him the effing N-word.
By the way, could there be anything more embarrassing than offering oral?
Turned down?
Not only did you offer it, but we know you got turned down.
That's a difficult kind of rejection.
Mm-hmm. If I were a cop, I'd be an honest cop, but I would still accept oral. But you never know it. I'd just go in and I'd go, as I was booking, I'd go, hey, a desk sergeant, you should know that she did offer me oral on more than one occasion. I just want you to know that. And then later on, when it finds out I accepted, I'll just be able to hide behind the words I use. I told you. I didn't say, you didn't ask me whether I went for it or not. It'd be a nice clean break.
Well, you wanted to know if the cop who she called an effing N-word was in fact black.
She dropped some N-bombs. I don't want to know if she was talking. Now, do we assume she, I want to know, like, does everyone assume the person was?
See.
Yeah, everyone did assume that, and I don't even know if I have more clarification, but I asked intrepid TMZ reporter Ben Mankiewicz, graduate degree from Columbia University of Journalism.
And he's like, hold on, I'm going through Dakota Fanning's garbage. Please, give me my dignity.
I said, can you use that Ivy League education to find out? Well, the cop who wrote the report is named... Officer...
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
Officer Angelakopoulos.
Who's your what?
Angelakopoulos.
Hello, so my name
Greek.
Is Sanjay Kumar.
It's like a Greek guy.
That is a Greek name. However, the report indicates that she yelled the racial slurs when she got back to the station for booking. So they may have been directed, in fact, at another officer. We do know that when she got on the phone to call her aunt, she started talking about a lot of effing crackers. She's all over the place.
Yeah, she was, again, pardon the pun, blacked out. When you're blacked out, you're not passed out. You're awake. You're just asleep while you're awake. And you say all the wrong things to all the right people.
Like the idea that you can be yourself.
You get restrained and you get arrested and you get your ass kicked and you throw around a lot of N-bombs. But I still don't think the cop that arrested her was. It was just a weird theory I had. I was curious. It made it... more egregious to me. Anyway, she has a problem with booze, obviously.
Yeah, she was on Dr. Drew's celeb rehab show.
Well, she got part of it right, though, because she called him an effing N.
Right.
And she was using effing as a verb, and he was, in fact, effing someone else by putting her in jail.
That's true.
So she was getting effed.
I wonder. Huh? I'm going out to dinner with Drew tonight.
Oh, I'm obsessed with her. Obsessed with her.
T, you know my policy when I go out to dinner. I only talk about me.
That's true.
Number one. And number two, if I'm paying, I'm walking with your doggy bag.
So do you take Dr. Drew's food that he doesn't finish?
He knows to finish now because he knows my policy.
Is it like in prison where you cover your food and he makes sure to eat it all?
He eats with his arm up, but he says that's the way he's always eating.
Please, please ask him about Jessica Sierra because in advance of her sex tape coming out, I'd like to know all I can about her.
No, I will lube him with some Crown Royal and we'll get some answers.
Ooh, that sounds good.
I want to release a sex tape.
That can be done.
Yeah.
I know it can be done. I got to wait till I either do it with somebody famous enough that this is worth the effort. Because who's gonna buy a sex tape of me?
I think there'd be enough people that had something I like to call morbid curiosity. There'd be enough. There's enough looky-loos that are just going to want to know out of curiosity.
Could people buy it with camel bucks?
Marlboro Miles. Where'd you get your Danny bootleg porn? You see the kayak with the Bonaducci bootleg porn in it? I got that with my Marlboro Miles.
It would not be bootleg. I would personally be selling it out of the trunk of my car. There'd be no shame involved here. It'd be well-edited, well-focused, a good cameraman.
No, I knew that. I mean, you would have your boots on.
Yeah!
You did it.
That's what it would be called.
News. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
It would be Bonaducci's officially sanctioned bootleg porn.
Yeah. Bonaducci Bones and Boots. That's what it would be called.
It would be called bootleg. Literally, bootleg. We'll take a break. We will.
Ass kicker.
We will be back to kick some ass.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due.
Oh, yeah.
Joel McHale from The Soup.
I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
Salt of the Earth, Joel McHale, The Soup, tonight, 10 o'clock on E! Joey Pants, The Amateurs, in theaters now. Sounds like a cool movie and a good guy. Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler, tonight, 8 o'clock on the TV Guide channel, and of course, TMZ. And Doochman, where are you going to be tomorrow?
Tomorrow, interestingly enough, I'll be in a casino not far from my house.
You'll be in Majestic, the Majestic City of Commerce.
I've got Gardena.
Oh, Gardena.
At the Hustle Casino. I'll be down there on my Harley Davidson.
Same place. Point is you are leaving the fight to go fight the good fight in the city of Gardena.
I'm leaving this incredible live broadcast in Las Vegas, where I don't know how you could have held this show together without me and my contributions, to go to Gardena to play around with some Harley Davidsons and some hustler chicks.
Good times, Brada Man. I'll be heading to Vegas to watch the fight. I'll give you a full report on Monday. And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I'm in my refractory period. I just rubbed one out in the locker room.